This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
And I went on the air in 1975 with a gay show. In 1980, I started the prison show. Continuous broadcasting on public radio means that I frequently ask folks just like you to make contributions, tax-deductible contributions, to the radio station. And you can do that on this program. Listen for the number and give it a call.
You are listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
You rely on KPFT when you take a few extra minutes to look back. KPFT helps you make sense of the events that rushed by over the previous days. The voices you hear on KPFT make a difference in how you understand the world. Your daily habit of radio is supported by listeners who make membership contributions. Call now with your pledge, 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. This is KPFT Houston.
Yeah. You're listening to KPFT 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. This is called a stalling tactic because I don't have the theme song queued up at this time.
It's my fault!
One moment, please. Yeah, wrong. Didn't push enough buttons yet. Try this. Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston. Oh, great.
Galveston in the world.
Well, it's not the old fart we were expecting, but It'll do. Hi, Roy.
Hey, Chris.
All right, that's enough. You're listening to After Hours. This is Queer Radio with Attitude.
And Chris supplies the attitude.
You don't know. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
Yes, yes.
I would ask how your week goes, but has been, but oh my God, I think I already know.
Well,
okay, how's your week been?
It improved over the weekend.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah. You know, it's a weird thing, you know. Even my father figured out what makes me happy lately.
The movie 8.5?
No, getting 8.5. Well, actually, last weekend it was about 5.5.
Okay,
but,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently they've discovered, as I think they've discovered here at the show, I get late, I get happy.
Yeah, boy. We're going to have to take up our election every week.
I wish you would, because there was a 6-week period in before that. The only action I got there cost me $2,300 at the ER.
Ooh, ouch.
And that included a guy named Bubba.
Well, that was something entirely different, yes.
Yeah. They poked me on the wrong side.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, Max is always asking me, why don't you talk about Sundance Cattle Company on After Hours?
Well, maybe if they send something besides on the Saturday night or Sunday morning.
Now I can, because Sundance Cattle Company is proud to announce the return of our Sunday food sales at George.
Am I doing that right?
Yeah.
They moo? Okay.
Join us on Sundays through September 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. at George.
I have to pay attention to the HCC meetings now, so I have to move.
Oh, okay. The beneficiary, once again, is the PWA-LVL campouts. That's the people with AIDS, Lady Victoria Lust campouts. And the fare this time is chopped barbecue sandwiches with all the fixins, plus potato chips for $3.
Chirped barbecue? The
chirped
chicken?
Chirped.
Chopped?
Yeah, yeah. That's when you when you chop
Boston?
It up very, very fine. Oh. Yeah, when it's chirped.
I thought all of a sudden you went to Boston on us.
Not a chance. Not a chance. And don't forget, every Wednesday night, Tony's Corner Divas appear at Tony's Corner Pocket. Promptly at 9 p.m., hosted by Lillian Devereaux. The cast includes four of the five, Anne-Marie Gill, Selena St. John, Marsha Mink Gill, and now Jessica Van Shelton has joined the crew. Regina Dane has left the Tony Corners Divas, and now she's doing the 11 o'clock show at EJ's. So, time marches on. Let's see here. GCAM News. As we enter our 10th year of existence, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History, Inc. has decided it's time to put on a new face. They're having a logo.
Judy's too old?
Yeah. They're having a logo, a new logo contest.
She's still on your couch so you could hear that?
No.
No.
No, she, Judy is back home, and Stanley flew in this evening. So.
I love those biblical plagues.
Yeah. What? What?
What?
Okay. The logo, the information for the logo contest is it must contain or incorporate GCAM or Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT history, and it must state EST 1999 or established 1999. We can have multiple submissions. It should be a simple design which reproduces well in color and in black and white from poster to pin size. Digital formats accepted, JPEG, TIFF, PDF, Adobe Illustrator, and PowerPoint. We'll also accept other forms such as artwork, paper, artboard, or canvas. And all submissions become property of GCAM. The deadline is midnight, August the 31st, 2008. And you may email submissions to Judy Reeves at troop@rainbowprod.com or chair@gcam.org. If you prefer to deliver your submission, you can call Judy at 832-722-5785 to make arrangements.
Call
for
her
that.
Now. Call her now.
Yeah, call her right now. She'll be so happy to hear from you.
You'll wake her pussy up. Or did you keep her pussy?
No, Dewey went home with Judy.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to make sure she didn't leave her pussy around.
Well, you know, I...
You almost claimed custody of her pussy.
I wanted... Yes, I really, really like Judy's cat.
You really like Judy's pussy and you wanted to keep it?
Somehow when you say it, it sounds nasty.
Let me check my script for what's the next line. Oh, yeah, my next line is, duh. I watch too much PBS.
Yes.
We all love Mrs. Slocum's pussy.
Are you being served?
Whatever color it was.
Yes.
Mr. Ackman, look through the mail slot, and if you see my pussy, drop a sardine in.
Something else going on with GCAM in conjunction with ICOH and the Comets. We're having a Houston Comets fundraiser on Tuesday, September the 2nd. Game time is 7:30 p.m. It's Comets versus New York Liberty. The tickets are $20, and these are $22 seats, so, you know, you're getting a deal already. Plus, ICOH and GCAM each get $5 per ticket. So, good deal.
Yes.
Get to see a Comets game. You know, I don't even know how basketball is played, but it is so much fun to see people like, you know, Judy's sister. Have you met Tootsie?
No.
This nice, quiet shell, you know, meek, mild-mannered, in her shell. This woman during a Comets game says more curse words than I've ever heard in my life. Picks fights with people.
It's the combination of the flannel, Birkenstocks, and sweat.
I don't know what it is. It just, oh my God. Anyway, it's a hell of a lot of fun. Even if you don't know what the, you know, you don't even understand the game, it's still fun. So I'm
bounce
going.
The ball, bounce the ball, bounce the ball, throw the ball. Bounce so, the ball, bounce the ball, bounce the ball, throw the ball.
Something like
in
that.
In your underwear.
Oh. Oh, but it's women. Okay. Okay. Hey, guys.
Thank God it's not a thong, you know.
Felix from Genderman here. And I wanted to post some upcoming events. We're going to be having an event at Last Concert Cafe, August the 24th from 7 to 11 p.m. Drag King Karaoke. Come as your favorite rock star. To help send us to Columbus, Ohio in October so we can represent H-Town in the 10th annual IDKE. That's right, IDKE, not D-I-K-E. It's International Drag King Exposition. No.
Extravaganza.
Yes, yes. We went through this last week, didn't we?
That's a 75. You receive okay. A C or a D. I forget what the scale is.
Which is going to be a big deal since Columbus is where it all started. Anyhow,
this evening
is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have karaoke and open drag performances by anyone who wants to rock the stage and an air guitar contest. We're also going to have relay races, a bake-off, and a photo booth manned by me. I'm reading it. It didn't say staffed. It said manned. Don't hit me. There's lesbians in the next room, so I got to defend myself here. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, you're not going to get that paneling
done
in your apartment.
And we should really like for y'all to come out. Also, we have a date for our next show, September 6th. Genderman is turning 2 show. So we'll give you more information on that when that comes about. But anyway, August the 24th at Last Concert Cafe, Genderman. G-E-N-D-E-R-M-Y-N.
Okay, wait.
Yes.
Karaoke.
What? Yeah.
And drag.
Yeah.
Bad singing and bad lip syncing.
Whatever. Maybe they're good. You don't know. See?
Her mic's not on, so it doesn't count.
No. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Something else going on here on competition for that on August 24th is the I'm Still Here show. Excuse me. Hosted by MJ Summers. It's a benefit for AFH Camp Hope. And it's Sunday, August the 24th, 7 p.m. at the BRB. It's celebrating MJ's 30th drag anniversary. God. And let's see. A little closer in on August the 15th. Come out and see Houston's finest perform as we prepare to send Valentino Capri, the current reigning Mr. Houston US of A at large, to the Mr. U.S. of A. at-large contest. The send-off show is on August the 15th at EJ's. Showtime is at 8:30. So, and they've got all the Capri people in there. Wow, including Regina Dane, Carrie Christopher. Wow. Roxanne Collins.
And Mary Tyler Moore's Pants.
My. It's going to be lots of large breasts. Okay. What have you got over there?
Well, let's see. I got a feeling they're going to talk about this one.
Yeah, the King of
Kings
thing.
That one we're not supposed to talk about.
What?
I'm not supposed to tell everyone we're supposed to be passive. want to be active, damn it.
Oh.
Break the rolls.
You do that, Sugar. Now, we have to break those rules in 8 seconds.
Oh, like I know how to push that button. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Galveston, Houston, Texas, North America. Oh, I'm sorry, forgot to slip in USA. Presents Summer of Love 2008, hosted by Grand Duke 24 Matt Gill,
mm-hmm.
on Friday, August 15th at 9 p.m. at George's Country Sports Bar.
It's George. There's only one George. And he doesn't have an apostrophe S. It's just George.
Well, it used to be Bricks 2, so it's George's 1. Praise Jesus, a tent revival.
Oh, somebody else copied that.
Wait a minute. Oh, there's two different events. Okay. Hey, put a dash in between the two here. The Summer of Love 2008, Matt Gill on the 15th. On the 16th, Praise Jesus, a tent revival hosted by Empress 24, Kimberly O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly Ann O'A with a carrot, Euro trademark Neil.
That is odd.
Someone uses a Macintosh.
Oh,
and the board of directors of the Empire Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star at 9 o'clock at Tony's Corner Pocket. Pocket. Well, I was reading further down and saw the puppy pound. Where they'll be pounding puppies at the pre-dog days party hosted by Grand Duke 24 J.P. Gill on Sunday.
Sunday.
The 17th at 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's at George Country Sports Bar.
See, they got it right.
Well, they had it right. I messed up. Blame Jody over the rip.
Okay.
The event is not a performing show, just a get-together. Open to...
Cool.
But
it's not a show?
The event is not a performing show, just a get-together. But it's open to all performers.
Well, I guess that depends on the performance.
It's a benefit for Legacy Community Health Services and assists us through Coronation XXV.
Be nice to Matt Gill. Be nice to Matt, not Matt Gill.
Who wrote it? It doesn't say who wrote it. Somebody wrote it. Come on. Take out.
Okay, it is Matt Gill. Yeah, be nice to Matt Gill. He puts out that nice list that of all of the Reese's events, so we don't have to... to find them all. What?
August 22nd, Susan Hayes is hosting something at Tony's Corner Perkett. I keep saying Perkett. Something must be wrong with me. I don't know. At 8:30, and then August 23rd, Bob Skinner's birthday show.
Really?
Emperor 24, Bob Skinner, at 8:30 at Tony's Corner.
That man still has birthdays?
Pocket.
Wow.
Oh, please, you should talk.
What?
I believe you're further along in the race than he is.
Really?
I would assume. Anyone? Bob, if you're listening.
Yeah, right. When Pigs Fly.
When Pigs Fly, a show and piggy bank auction on Friday, August 29th at 8:30 p.m. over at George Bar. 517 Fairview, open to all performers. Hosted by Imperial Prince XXIV Falcon.
Yes.
And that's also for the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc.
He has previously handed out pigs that all different clubs and
people... Have you unscrewed your pig yet?
...get to... You screw it?
Yeah.
You get to decorate the pig.
You screw the nose.
No kidding!
Yeah.
I haven't taken it out of its hairnet yet.
How else are you supposed to get into the pig? You got to screw its nose.
I
you haven't played with your pig enough.
Evidently, I've never screwed a pig.
Well, yeah.
That's hard to believe.
Hopefully, in the next segment there, we'll find out what hanky you need for that. That's September. That's January. What's this? Yeah, you want to start sashaying over there while I...
I'll start sashaying.
Shantae. August 24th, 7 p.m. Tony's Corner Pocket. It's a group thing. A Rhesus, the Empire Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, production show number 3. Tony's Corner Pocket, hosted by Imperial Prince 24 Scott Kenyon. Once again, everything for Eresis this year is for benefiting Legacy Community Health Services and Assisters. I've already did that, except this one is only half the page. And Southern Country, Houston, calling all artists. They're pleased to announce their first ever art auction, Art for the Children, benefiting Camp Hope. The rules for submittal are simple. First and foremost, it must be kid-appropriate. So if it scares a small goat, can't do it. Second, please provide a short write-up on the work of the artist. This legacy document will be given to the new owner of the art. Third, the artwork needs to be submitted no later than September 1st, 2008. It will be photographed and placed on display on the website so potential bidders can view it. Location to be announced. For more information, contact SoCoHoArtShow@gmail.com. Southern Country Houston was founded in 1991 as a country western dance organization in southeast Texas. As a 501c3 charitable organization, we have a great time while we work to support other local charitable organizations through dance workshops, community service, and fundraising activities.
Waterhouse, and they can come pick you up.
Oh, maybe in the Dodge.
Well, let's pull that down and those up. Let's try that again. Because Lord knows I don't want to hear Big Roy on the air again.
What did you do?
Huh?
What did you do?
I turned on the studio mic, but under this new scheme where we used to have a separate button for the lobby mic, it's number...
It is
8.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so we were hearing Big Roy and Robert. Fortunately, they weren't
doing the show that's happening in the lobby right now. Okay.
Which is usually a far more entertaining show.
Can be.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting here with a woman who I saw her on stage last night. Actually, she was introduced as, let's see, how was that put? A loud, pushy.
Loudmouth.
Loudmouth, pushy dyke. Yeah.
Yeah, that's me.
I would never say that about you.
Yes, that's me. Absolutely.
And who would say such a thing?
Who would say such a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, my lovely other half. Because she would know. That's a joke the Imperial Court System gave me a long time ago. So that's just...
Loudmouth, pushy dyke?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Good. And you would be Melissa Flores.
Yes, I would be.
And sitting next to you would be...
Chris Falk.
Yes. And
also known as Sushi.
Sushi. Yes. The very first Dyke Diva, weren't you?
No, I was Dyke Diva in 05. I wasn't the first one.
Oh.
I think I was like the third.
Oh, really?
Right.
Wow. Huh.
That was an interesting endeavor that got me involved all in the fundraising community. And I'm truly grateful for that.
Really?
That. Yes.
Really? Did that really?
That was the first time I'd ever done any type of... fundraising event,
mm-hmm.
and actually the first time I'd performed in, 25 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, that was...
25 years?
Yeah, when I was a baby dyke years ago...
Must have.
When I was a baby dyke years ago at a club called Twins, I used to do shows there. Years ago.
I remember Twins.
When I was just a baby.
Not that I was too scared to go in it, but...
It wasn't that bad. It was actually a good club. It just had a bad rep. Mm-hmm.
So, what are you two up to that you should darken the hallways of After Hours in KPFT?
Actually, it was Sarah, the one who introduced me as a loudmouth fishy dog last night.
Uh-huh.
They said, you know, you should let me call Jimmy Carper. I can get y'all on the radio, and you can talk about your event.
Yeah.
So I've been working on my sexy radio voice. Is that it? No?
That's Sarah.
Does that work, honey? Does that sound like a sexy radio
voice? Is it doing it for you?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Melissa Flores. Here at KFPT.
Yeah.
Close. KTPQRS. See, that's why they call me.
KPFT.
KPFT. Keith Playing Fag Tunes.
There you go.
Because they are a listener-sponsored. People can join anytime.
Yep.
Please go to kpft.org.
There you go. And we just happen to be in the middle of a fundraising
there you go.
Endeavor.
Well, we have started. Chris and I got a crazy idea one night. I don't know. She didn't have any alcohol in her because she doesn't drink, so that would probably be me.
I went along with it.
To start a real drag king contest. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're doing.
It's about time Houston had one.
Exactly. And that was the whole premise of this whole idea, was that that's a group of people that haven't been really recognized, mm-hmm, within the Houston community.
Absolutely.
A lot of other cities have recognized the drag king community, and this is our way of thanking them,
yeah,
for being such an active role. It's been quite fun, actually.
I've been promoting it the last couple of weeks, but I thought it'd be a lot of fun to have the I can promote lesbian things, but I ain't a lesbian. So people are not going to listen.
We can make you an honorary lesbian.
You're not even a closet lesbian?
An honorary
lesbian? You wear pink.
Right?
You wear pink all the time.
You look more feminine than we do.
Oh, I can be a lipstick lesbian.
There you go.
Okay.
JC.
Sarah and I can go shopping together.
There you go. You're right. Definitely.
Watch out, Harwin. Here they come.
That's right.
Bling.
You can't have my credit card that day, baby. But no, we started the contest last night, actually. Mm-hmm. We had three contestants. We had one winner.
Well, that's good.
I wanted all three of them to win.
Right. They were that good of
entertainers. I was there at the beginning, and Judy was feeling bad, and my feet were giving me hell. You know, I've got neuropathy, so it was like, okay, we can't stay.
Yeah,
damn
Judy
it.
Sent
damn
Sarah's
it.
Secretary Bob a message about that.
Oh, okay.
Her personal secretary Bob.
Yeah.
Bob Flores.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Anyway, so yeah, that's one side joke
but
for Jimmy. And
the way that
Judy, if you're listening, dear.
She may be. She's home now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The way this whole contest is set up is that we actually have four shows. The first mm-hmm. three, the contestants from... we have a winner from each of the first three nights.
Yeah.
And then on the fourth night is the actual crowning after they compete. Yes. And
so
three prelims, mm-hmm, of which last night was
so
one
the best
of the first
of the
prelims.
Exactly.
Then we have our final.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then we have our final.
Wow.
Final
and,
on Saturday.
And this
the
is
last Saturday of August at Chances Bar, 1100 Westheimer.
Yeah.
Who is one of our corporate sponsors.
Exactly. Along with also Black Hawk Leather is
another corporate sponsor.
Good.
For the King of Kings.
Good,
yes.
good.
I was very happy when Bob said that he would do that with us.
Yeah.
But Nick and Tammy at Chances have been great.
Exactly.
Bob's mm-hmm. been great over at Black Hawk Leather. The winners each night get $50.
Mm-hmm.
And then the winner at the end is going to get $100 and become one of the sash people of the world.
Oh, yes.
And get
to be Sash Queen.
With
exactly.
A Sash Queen.
King.
Thank
Sash
you.
King.
Excuse me,
oh.
Ma'am.
Oh.
Did you say Queen?
But this is an actual title that we would like to really see move throughout the community, doing the different shows.
You
know, like Night in Black Leather, mm-hmm, and Christmas in July and so on and so forth, to get the drag kings more involved in the community.
You bet. And get the community more used to drag kings.
Exactly.
Because except for Logo, I don't think I've ever seen a drag king.
Really?
Yeah. You know, some Logo specials.
Right.
But
I
don't think I've seen... I've never seen a drag queen, a drag king performance.
They are really, really awesome performers. Mm-hmm. Last night we had three.
Well, the first contestant was an Elvis impersonator,
uh-huh,
and she sang live. So
wow,
yeah, she was actually singing and came out and did all. I mean, it looked like Elvis up there. I mean, it really did. So she was great. She mm. was really great. She liked to go by Lucy Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to use any of their last names because I don't know if that's kosher.
Right.
But she was great. That was contestant number one. And then contestant number two was Champ.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a transformation into a country and western star, and I can't remember his name. Trace Adkins, Trace something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Kind of transformed into one of the country and western people.
Wow.
And then the last one we had, that was some rap music, and that was actually the winner. Mm-hmm. Her name was Kuma. And she transformed in and did some rap music, and she was actually the winner. Did a very, very nice song about, it was a rap song about how do you see yourself and how you've changed. And she had, you know, little, you know, dolls and would put that in the box to get rid of because of her, how she identifies and how difficult it is. It was a very moving, moving performance. It really was. And she won. She won last night.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, we have three or four more contestants lined up each week, the next 2 weeks, and then we'll have the finals.
Do you already have people lined up? Or
Yes, we do. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. And we only wanted like three or four contestants each week.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they're lined up.
Wow.
And I'm really getting a good response from the Drag
you
King community.
Must be.
And I'm really pleased with that. And they're a awesome group of girls, you know, and they have, anytime I've asked the Drag Kings to do anything for me and with me, they've been awesome in their response, and they were really excited about this. They liked the idea of them finally being recognized in the community, and so they're ready.
Wow.
Yeah, Chris and I were talking the other night about how people always say that the lesbians don't come out, and the lesbians don't do this, and the lesbians don't do that. Well, ask, Blanche, ask. And
yeah,
because we've been met with, you know, even people from the Gendermen want to come out and just perform as a favor. They don't want to enter, but you know, some of the Gendermen want to come just perform just to show support of the event. So.
That was my next question. I wanted to ask because I was just promoting something by the Gendermen.
Right.
So what is the difference between the Gendermen and
some of the Gendermen are participating in this contest.
Oh, okay.
And no, that's the Gendermen, you know, are an awesome group of performers. And I've seen, I mean, you know, the Drag Kings are real prevalent in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a lot of work with the court system there in Austin.
Really?
And, matter of fact, I heard about them before the Gendermen even started here in Houston.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they're just, anytime we've asked them, they've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Great.
Everybody's always saying, you know, get a drag queen to do a show. Well, we'd like to have everybody start saying, well, get a drag king to go along with it.
Exactly.
Or a show was in the show without a drag king.
That's right.
Right, there exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to do. And you know, and like we said, Nick over at Chances is obviously, you know, really wants that to happen. It's big old dive bar. Yeah. So no, they've been very supportive of it, and like I said, you know, trying to raise a little bit of awareness.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to. While we love drag queens, that was the first crush I had when I was 15, was on Raina Lee in Fort Worth. But
I think mine was Naomi Sims.
Oh, who?
Well,
who didn't
choice.
Have it?
Everybody was in love with Naomi Sims.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, we love drag queens, we do, but you know, we'd like to be a part of that community as well. So that's what we're doing.
You know, and I'd really like to get the lesbian community more involved in the community.
Sure.
And
because there's lots of talent out there.
There is a lot of talent.
I don't know why we don't see a lot more women singing live in shows.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know there is a lot of terrific talent going on out there.
Well, I think one of the issues is trying to, you know, find them and gather them all up. I mean, we're all so scattered today. Used to, you know, back in the day, we were all down in the hood and
yeah.
We had everybody. I mean, everybody was here.
Yeah, but even it's, back then, you know,
kind of watered
like,
down now.
There's like Nevada, who sang live. You remember Nevada?
Oh yeah.
And not too many others.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got Sarah and her Showlanders.
Exactly.
And the Welch.
Yay for all of Houston. And they were out last night.
Yes, they were.
All three of them. And they looked lovely. Just lovely. And she sang, too.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, did I mention that? Yes, she sang, too.
She sang, too. Yes.
Yes, she did.
Yes.
And we appreciate it, all of y'all.
We do need
she
to mention
that. She sang that cheating song.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Yeah, that cheating song.
That's right. We do need to mention that this event is really also partially being hosted by the Empire, the Royal Sovereign, and the Imperial Court of the Single Star of Inc., Houston, Galveston, and the Great Northwest, as Chris so eloquently North America put it, Brazil.
That title's been so long, it's going to beat the Pride Parade for the longest name.
I couldn't hear what
you said. It just edged out Gulf Coast Archive Museum of GLBT history.
I know. We have to have the longest names in the world, so we're just going to call it the Empire tonight, just so, because
I think you
or a Reese's.
It works for us.
You know.
It sounds like a candy bar, so
yeah.
We're not. I like Empire better.
In the old days, I called them Rasikis, but they didn't like that.
So, yeah, along with being a contest for the Drag Kings, this is also a fundraiser.
It's
that goes to.
It's Legacy, isn't it?
Yes, it's sisters. Legacy and his sisters are Reese's beneficiaries this year. So it goes to the women also.
Yeah.
And Legacy and his sisters have also, you know, helped us get some raffle items and
really?
Because we're doing some Chances has given us a Wii game system to raffle off. Blackhawk Leather has given us a custom made leather vest.
Wow.
The sisters organizations donated a basket of different kinds of wines and such. Legacy is bringing silent auction items. We're going to have a silent auction every week. You know, Case Rossera.
Yeah.
All that stuff you do. For $5, you get there are $5 for one raffle ticket to be put in the bucket to be pulled. You don't have to be present to win, because we're going to get all your contact information.
Hey.
Yeah, so.
That's a good deal.
So, but it is a benefit, you know, put on by women for women. So that's
exactly
our motto.
You can, you know, there's nothing stopping you from getting some money out of the men for this either.
Well, thank you.
You know, these raffle tickets, you can sell them anytime.
Exactly.
That's right. Yeah, we've started doing that. We're
good.
And the raffle.
Do you want 20 to go sell for us?
Chris, you have the contacts, all kinds of contacts.
See, well, see, if I could just find 100 people to sell 50 tickets, how much money would that be?
That would be a lot of money.
It would. I can't add it because Sarah had to wake me up to go, we've got to go to the radio station. So I could add that in my head, but I can't right now. It's way too late for that. You don't have Excel on this computer anymore, do you?
So what did Sarah do to you that you had to have that nap?
Oh, can we talk about that on the radio?
Well, of course.
Oh, see, she's giving me that look like, honey, I love you, and you're really funny, but if you don't shut up now, we're not ever going to do what we did that put you to sleep for a week. So I can't. I'm getting that look. I'm getting that look.
I got it. Okay.
Not to mention, she's extremely red, and you are also.
Well, it's because I'm thinking about why I took a nap, so what can I say?
Boy, it must have been really good.
My glasses are fogging up. Thanks, Jimmy. My first radio appearance, you have me talking about intimate things with my wife.
Funny how I bring that out in people.
It's the pink shirt.
Yeah.
You're making me feel a little Nelly over here.
Just don't perform it, because we don't want another 4-week vacation.
That's right.
See, that's not fair. I can't hear my big man in there. My big dessert man.
He just doesn't want you to act out what you did earlier, because we don't need the 4-week vacation from the airwaves.
Yeah. Okay, I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay.
Either of you. I need to stop now, because see, I'm starting.
You really couldn't do it to either one of us, because we're not interested in
that. I know, and you know what? And, you know, ditto, right back at you, dude.
Yeah.
In the Red Lobster of life, when we go for the surf and turf platter, we leave the lobster on the table.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You're equating it to, okay, never mind. I'm not going there.
I'm just loving this, because we don't have a lot of women on the show. Go figure.
Oh, well, if y'all need some monthly humor, I'll be more than happy to come in here and just sit here and BS with you all not long about whatever you'd like to talk
about.
What's
so humorous about your monthly thing?
Oh, Jimmy.
See, they're beating me up. You know, tonight is the first time. Okay.
But
so I'm going to
look.
He has. I've finally had my cherry pop by man. Two men at the same time, Chris and Jimmy. Okay, because I've never been on radio before, and Jimmy just told me just to talk like I'm talking to him at the bar.
Well,
I tried to do that, and I've had to bite my tongue about four times because I had to leave out cuss words and. Mm-hmm. Then I would think, you know, that little inside voice would start talking, and I'd go, oh, that would get me in trouble if I said that, depending on who's listening, you know? So it's not like we're sitting at a bar,
you know, people
having a
just,
cigarette on the patio.
So many people are pissed at me because it doesn't matter what I say. I just open my mouth, and somebody out there is going to get pissed off, so I'm used to it.
Oh, well, see, hence the loud mouth pushy die. So, but, you know, this is kind of an event thing, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, we got to be nice. We're pushing the event.
They have this Parliament thing with ICS, and you know they might like come down on me. You know, you just never know. You gotta,
yeah, that's true.
Know,
yeah.
The great Nicole, I have to watch out for that. So,
yeah. So,
and remember, if they don't hear it live on the air, you can always pick up an archive of tonight's show at kpft.org.
Thanks.
Yes,
thanks, Chris.
The station archives the show for 4 weeks.
Oh, isn't that fabulous?
GCAM archives it forever.
Well, of course, y'all do. That's why we need to have more fundraisers. So Judy can have her house back. And Jimmy can have his house back. Because we need more storage space, right?
Yeah.
Lee, she's back in her house for 2 weeks.
Actually, we need a museum. Why don't we have a museum?
I don't know.
We have enough money and we have enough people in Houston. Why don't we have a museum?
You know,
same reason as we don't have a community center.
We're sitting around waiting for somebody to die so we can get a museum. You know, we're in a few wills around town, but yeah,
Does
I hear.
Stanley know he's in a will. His will says that yet?
Yeah, I told him.
Okay.
What?
Stanley, are you listening?
Well, how come we haven't done any benefits for GCAM lately?
We have.
We do them all the time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, yes. There are folks that do benefits, but you know that pays the rent on the storage and, you know, very few basic things, and we just can't really get ahead to get the money together for a building of our own.
Okay.
Right. Well, and then that's
taking a capital fund, and that's also to have
capital
a capital fund. Yeah, campaign. You have to have people who are more savvy at raising money than Judy or I.
Judy, you didn't hear that.
No, she hits it fully.
I know.
We are in the business of collecting stuff. That's our passion. Collecting stuff.
Pack rat.
Yeah.
And you've done a fine job of it.
Oh.
I've seen some of the stuff. It's amazing.
The Twit magazines. I'd love to. Anyway.
Everyone. We have everyone.
Even the first edition. When it looked like a newspaper.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. We got it from them.
Oh, you did? That's great. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and most of them, we have multiple copies. We have every Montrose, I think we have every Montrose voice.
Wow.
As a matter of fact. And, you know, it's a few of the others. And
Yeah, that would make a capital.
We have outfits, we have leather, we have gowns, we have matchbook covers. We've got, you know, just anything.
Right.
We just don't collect paper. It's just anything of value.
Right.
And, in fact, this past Wednesday, we did an exhibit at the Houston Public Library. They had a little seminarette going on Wednesday night, and we brought up a whole bunch of stuff, along with the Bots Collection brought up some of their stuff from RMCC. And so, you know, we do what we can.
That's right.
We do these little mini exhibits. We've got stuff at... we've got a case at EJ's. We've got a case and some items at the community center. We want to work with some other bars to get some displays in there because we had a museum space and people didn't come.
Mm.
And we figure unless we have an office in a community center where people are going to be coming in for other things, they're not going to make a special trip to come see us.
Aren't you putting some stuff up at the Montrose Counseling Center?
We're working with them on that, yes.
Yeah, I thought I heard something about
that. So we're taking
the
stuff to where the people are going, either bars and community center and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but one day if we did have some big old museum that was up.
Oh, yeah.
There would be people coming to Houston to see the museum.
We have a complete bound edition of The Ladder. We've got every book. Let's see.
Do you have some things in there about dykes?
Oh, yeah. We've got more books. We've got more lesbian literature than we do gay literature.
Well, oh, really? I know, because
lesbians,
we write.
Lesbians read.
Lesbians write and
yes.
read.
Yes. Yes.
And straight men like to read those as well, so, you know, you've got a double audience.
You know, and my wish is to have a reading library. I don't know that I want to have one that we loan books out, because you don't
exactly.
always get them back.
Exactly.
But, you know, place with sofas
the lamination would be astounding.
And places where people can come and relax and read and whatever we have. I want an erotica room, because erotica.
I thought you already had one of those.
Well,
thank you.
I do
think it's called a bookstore.
Erotica has been very important to gay men in their growing up, and it's changed so much over the years.
But who's going to pay 25 cents a minute to read a book?
Chris, how do you know it costs that much? Did you see it displayed mm-hmm. somewhere?
Well, it's either that or you're going to have to pay $8 there for all you can read. And, you know, that just gets way too much time.
That's too much. That's too expensive.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Well,
and
know.
Plus, how the hell are you going to read the book through a little hole like that?
Somewhere? I know.
I know. Right.
It was the best of... I can't get to see
right.
over there.
Yeah. And then they have those things that stick you in your eye when you're looking through the hole.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, how can I read through the little hole and I got something poking
if
in my eye?
If they didn't use a good Dremel tool, you know.
I always wondered what those things were. I've heard about them, you know, from all my gay friends
yeah.
from back in the day. Speaking of erotica back in the day, I was raised by drag queens, so I know all about all that.
Okay.
So, Jimmy's like,
okay.
You brought it up, Mr. Man. Don't look at me like that. It's like, I don't have a dyke talking about.
It is my fault.
That's right.
Oh,
anyway.
God, he admitted it.
I know.
Anyway. Good luck with your King of Kings.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be talking about it every week. I'll try to get to as many as I can, but Stanley's in town this week. I have to tell you that right off.
Okay.
Okay.
We're more than happy.
Everybody should stay home then.
Yeah.
Stanley's here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that mythical creature.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a piece of music? Chris?
I guess you queued up something.
Yes, I did. I forget what it was, but I queued something up.
Okay.
He's kind of cute, who you played on the first song.
Oh, that's a she.
Damn it.
That's one of those CDs that was sitting out at Chances.
Oh, okay. I saw those CDs.
Yeah, so I
around.
Picked one
that
up.
Was, yeah, I think...
give her some airplay.
Down. I couldn't see the Adam's apple.
Stop.
I'm serious. The chin's down, you can't see an Adam's apple.
Well, because she doesn't have one.
It looks like she's wearing pink boxers. Cross-dresser.
You would be surprised.
Anyway, that was LP, and we played cut number one from that.
Gee, once again, my dad will be happy. I saw a woman and go, ooh, pretty guy.
Mm. We thank you for letting us come on.
Thank
it was
you.
Definitely.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Definitely.
Very
thank
much.
You.
Chris.
Didn't hurt much, did it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay. Not at
we're
all.
We're gentle the first time.
Yeah.
You know, y'all were gentle.
Yeah. Next time it's Nude Radio.
Next time it's Nude Radio, and we throw you to Robert Tichy.
Okay. Well, I can do that.
That'll put your tits in the knot.
Hey, I'm game. I am the loudmouth pushy dyke.
There you go.
On that note, me first in the Gimme Gimmies with Natural Woman. Me First in the Gimme Gimmes with Natural Woman.
And that's a straight group, by the way. But they do all kinds of crazy...
Of course they're a straight group, because they're wearing yellow plaid pants, and no fag would be caught dead wearing that.
Of course not.
Not even on a golf course.
No. Not even in the Ripcord bathroom.
I heard that, Jim. Your phone number is on the Ripcord bathroom wall.
It should be.
What's the yellow hanky code for? What's the hanky code for a yellow plaid?
Yellow plaid. That means you only get into water sports with Irishmen. I mean, what?
When you lift your kilt to pee on the person, it's a yellow plaid.
Okay. That's a yellow plaid. Okay, that's something I really didn't need to know.
Yeah, me neither.
There you go.
Hey, now for something unusual from me. I have to pitch.
Pitch, baby, yeah. Pitch.
With the P for a change. Okay.
You be a pitcher, make all the listeners be the catcher.
I'm going to earn my versatile stripes.
Aw, that's so sweet.
This is Pledge Drive.
It is.
Week. It's 1 week only,
mm-hmm.
And we're doing it soft and gentle.
I don't know, we're missing a pair.
Yes,
we
are.
Do we have a set of headphones?
What do you mean you're missing a pair? Right there's a not big pair.
No, do we have another pair?
No.
Okay.
You missed
there's
the joke.
There's only one pair in there.
It's a big pair.
Yeah, definitely a big pair. It's like Dolly Parton big.
And that's even before Virgin walked into the room.
Are we talking about headphones?
No, not anymore.
Oh.
Make your
when
pitch,
American
Chris.
American Airlines starts asking you if you can spot a couple passengers in the event of a water landing, you know you're stacked.
She doesn't need a flotation device. She is a flotation device.
That's why they're called Mae West.
Mae West was a man, okay?
So they say.
Yeah, I swear he was.
Okay.
It is Pledge Drive, and we're trying something a little unusual. Instead of sitting here going for 20, 30 minutes, going 713-526-5738, 713-JMKPFT, 713-526. We're just going to give it you soft and gentle prod in the middle of the night.
I love those gentle prods in the middle of the night.
Just enough to stir you. To
back
reach back.
Off. He's the guest, Jim.
To reach back. Behind you.
Yes.
And grab hold of that wad.
Oh.
And share it with us.
Wow.
So we need for you to call in at 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support. Robert is out there. Big Roy is out there.
Boy, with a pitch like that, no wonder we're getting people calling in and using their name as anonymous.
I wish I could use anonymous, you know.
Now, the ones that are calling in anonymous are all of Jimmy's tricks.
Oh, so it's a rebate.
Well, yes, it's a rebate.
Well, in the 20 years of the After Hours history, we got our first one tonight.
Excellent. First rebate or your first trick?
First anonymous.
Oh, first anonymous, okay.
We want to thank Mr.
Thank
anonymous,
you, anonymous
out there.
Yes. Yes.
We need another person. No mm-hmm. name. Named. Just stick it through the glory hole and let us know who you are. 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Or if you don't want to give Big Roy your credit card number, which
you probably
millions
shouldn't.
Other haven't,
yeah.
You can go to kpft.org and stick your number in there and safely and securely.
Ooh.
Stick it what in
give
there?
Us all your money.
Stick what in there?
Your number.
Uh-huh. Your number.
Wanted to make sure.
Give us those big 16 digits.
Yeah, AOL digits, yeah. Right?
Mm. That's three hands plus one.
Mm-hmm. Three hands plus one.
Oh.
That's a serious red hanky. That's the red hanky they flew over, you know, over the in front of the Alamo before the Mexicans invaded.
That's a deep red burn, yeah.
Yes. But, like I said, we need for you to call in. Let management know that we're good.
No,
you like what we do.
We're great.
Mm.
That's going to get us off the air for 4 weeks, Jimmy.
What?
You're moaning.
No, because we don't hear any slappy, squishy noises.
Someone.
The scary part is it's a woman doing that to him.
I'm impressed.
Someone is rubbing my shoulders.
How lovely.
And it's really good.
That's good.
But we need for you to call in your pledge support, 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Because, of course, right now you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Yes.
Now broadcasting in high-definition radio, so
ooh.
You can hear Jimmy's moans even clearer and crisper.
That's nice.
I think you didn't do anything better to you last night.
You I'm sorry, what was that?
As if you didn't have anything better to do.
You're hearing us on regular KPFT 90.1, also on High Definition Channel 1. If you've got on Channel 2, you're hearing British Broadcasting.
Okay.
It's time now for Leather Ties. Do you want that first bit of music first?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Give us that music. We're going to listen to Tarkin.
Some guy in a fur coat.
He's a hot little...
I got to be careful. The last time I said someone was hot on the front cover or something, they found out it's a girl.
No, that was scarier. Pussy Tourette. He's really a guy. Oh, that's a girl?
Yeah.
Man, she's butch.
Yeah.
Dang.
Like I said, I wouldn't have known anything till her...
Wait, she got flannel suspenders under that jacket?
What? I guess, you know. I wouldn't have been able to tell until the tide came in.
Not saying a word.
Let's go to music.
Not saying a word. Welcome to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T, and we are here tonight with Fringe. The song we just heard, that's Tarkan from his first English album. His other three albums are in Turkish. They are just as cool, probably even better. And a lot of his music has been remade in English by other artists, like Stella Soleil and a few other people. But that was his first English album. That song was Make You Feel Good, obviously. So, welcome. Good evening. We're in the studio tonight with Fringe. Let's go around the half-circle table and introduce ourselves. We have Princess.
Hi.
Miss Anastasia.
Hello.
Troy.
Troy. I'm sorry, Troy. I just went blank on your name.
Oh, that's fine. Like, it's happened before.
Okay. Troy. And my baby bear, Clayton, is here. So, let's talk about Fringe. What is Fringe? Fringe is an acronym, correct?
Yes, Fringe is an acronym. Fringe actually stands for Friends Reveling in No Guilt Entertainment.
Ooh, I like that.
Well, basically, we feel like you should never feel guilty about doing what you enjoy.
She says that just like a little sex kitten.
That's me?
Very Julie Newmar. That was really not.
I wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right. If you saw this woman, you would yell. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Friends Reveling in
No Guilt.
No Guilt Entertainment.
And basically what the concept of Fringe is, a lot of individuals in the different, quote, fringe communities here in Houston noticed that there was a lot of disassociation from the different fringe groups, in addition to the fact that there was a lot of misinformation.
You know, when we're talking about fringe groups, we're talking about, like, what, the leather, the BDSM crowd,
everything.
The fetishists.
Everything. That's right.
Yes.
Okay.
All of the different fringe groups. Anybody who's on the fringe of what you might call, quote, normal society, though I hate using that word normal. Anyone who's on the fringe of everyday society, so that includes the fetishists, that includes whether you be gay, lesbian, bi, or trans, that includes the BDSMers, that includes the leather people, that includes the MS people, everyone. And basically what the concept was is we just noticed that these individuals were sort of separate and disassociating and really not sharing information or resources for that matter. And we kind of said, well, we're all on the fringe. Why aren't we sort of working together? I mean, we all kind of have a commonality in the sense that we are trying to operate in our lives how we'd really like to and what makes us happy, and most people don't seem to think that that's, quote, acceptable, God forbid.
What is acceptable nowadays?
Yeah, well, when you've got a president like we do, what do you expect?
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, was that political? Anyway, so basically we just said what we need to do.
Oh, you mean that president? I thought you were talking about the president of Fringe.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Another goofy bitch.
I'm sorry, you know that goofy bitch?
Yeah, she's sitting right over there. So.
Yeah, but she's a really pretty goofy bitch. I mean, if I were a breeder, I'd do her.
Oh, why, thank you.
That's, I am, so, and I would too.
But what we decided to do is basically form an organization that was dedicated to the communication and the collaboration of the different fringe communities, starting here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And what we decided to do was begin with information and communication, because we figured that was the first step. We need to get the different groups to begin to talk to one another and dispel some of the myths and rumors that people have. Like, everyone believes that if you're in the leather lifestyle, then you must be gay.
No.
Well, apparently there are many people who believe this.
Well, I mean, a lot of the leather subculture basically started in the gay community, but the straights have embraced it.
Yes, I realize
so.
That. But there's a lot of people in the BDSM and fetish community who think differently. And then we came across a lot of leather individuals who had similar misconceptions based on, again, bad information about, you know, the BDSMers and the fetishists. So we said, well, why can't we all just start talking to one another? Why can't we all start sharing resources? There's a lot of things, legally speaking, that affect us all. Why can't we get together and share resources and talk and figure out a way for all of us to work together?
And educate each other.
Exactly. And doing such without trying to homogenize or make the different groups into one big, organization.
Well, I think that's one of the big hurdles to get over, is because they think that, well, if we talk to them, they're going to try to assimilate us. It's like, no. Everybody is, you're separate entities, you're separate subcultures.
Exactly.
You have your own pluses, your own minuses, you attract your own crowds.
celebrating differences.
Yeah, it's learning to accept and celebrate the differences mm-hmm. rather than try to homogenize everybody.
Exactly. We should not all try to be, you know,
want to homogenize,
one.
Be a Republican.
No, we can all share resources and communicate and talk and discuss issues that affect us all and still be our own unique individual groups with our wonderful differences and idiosyncrasies. And we can all celebrate our differences and yet still work together.
It's
so,
also individual people, though, too.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, exactly.
Because there's a lot of people that I would say that are on the fringe who really don't fall into any of those groups. And so then the question is, where do those individuals go? And so fringe was sort of developed with the concept of getting everybody to start working together.
Well, I think an interesting point you made is there are a lot of people that aren't necessarily classified as leather, BDSM, fetishist, whatever. But maybe it's because they don't know where to go. And if mm-hmm. we can bring these different organizations together and get those people on the fringe of the fringe, mm-hmm. the GDIs, that maybe they will find a home someplace that they belong and mm-hmm. educate themselves. So.
And in addition to that, a lot of what we found out is that there's a lot of misinformation and rumors and myths running around people who are not on the fringe community about the fringe community. There's a lot of what I call, quote, vanilla people who honestly believe that everyone who's in BDSM must be certifiably crazy because here they are using these instruments to inflict or receive pain.
Well, I think one of the biggest pieces of misinformation, and we get this a lot because I'm on the board of NLA Houston, National Leather Association, is that just because you're leather means you have to be into all these different fetishes and you have to be into all these different BDSM situations
and just
scenes,
like,
and it's like, no, everybody has their own fetish, their own level of play. Some people like ropes, some don't. Some people like, you know, water sports. Some people don't. Some people like cutting or needle play. Some don't.
And if
you don't have to be proficient in all of them.
If the Democrats and Republicans within themselves can't agree on, you know, every little detail, why would we? I mean, they all have different viewpoints on how things are tending to be run and how they should be run within their own, you know, political organizations. They all have different ideas, and yet, you know, they all sort of are in one group. And, you know, the leather's the kind of the same way. So is BDSM. They all have their individual ways of doing things and their own individual ideas.
And their own protocols.
And their own protocol. And they might fall under, you know, an umbrella of, quote, say, leather. But that doesn't mean that they all do it the same.
No.
But there's a lot of people in the vanilla world who believe that. So the other thing that Fringe wanted to do was we found that a lot of the problems that get generated are because of fear or lack of information.
Mm-hmm.
So if you provide that information in a safe sort of setting for those vanilla individuals, then maybe we can dispel some of that misinformation and fear. And even if they don't want to join us on the fringe, for those people who don't know that they may necessarily be kinky or whatever else, even if they don't want to join us, at least they will know a little bit about us and be less inclined to fear us, hate us, or try to create problems for us. They'll understand us more and thus be less inclined to have negative reactions. Because
mm-hmm.
a lot of those negative reactions, as I said, are simply based on fear and misinformation.
So in your group, Fringe, you have quite a cross-section of people from leather, BDSM, straight, gay.
We have tried to collect people from all walks of life.
I come from a leather background.
This is Princess speaking.
Sorry.
Good evening, Princess.
Hi, Daddy Bear.
How you
By
doing?
The way, he helped me move today, so everybody needs to give him a round of applause for helping a girl out moving heavy shit.
Yay.
Watch your language, darling.
Sorry. I come from a leather background, but I also break into BDSM, and I noticed that there's a huge amount of disinformation between leather people and BDSMers. They both seem to think that there's not enough respect there. And so my biggest thing was making sure I understood protocols of both cultures
mm-hmm.
so that when I went into that culture, I could behave properly.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who are not familiar with the terminology, BDSM.
Bondage, domination, discipline, submission, sadism, masochism.
BDSM.
Mm-hmm. So, commonly referred to as kinky. And when I speak of vanilla, generally speaking, BDSMers refer to anyone who's not kinky, essentially.
If you don't get into kink plays such as flogging or any other that other stuff, I mean, for you it's just an SNF, you know, missionary position kind of thing, then that's vanilla.
Exactly.
When you get into the fetish plays like water sports, fisting, things like that, flogging, then we're talking about... Then we are talking about BDSM, fetish play, leather. Not all people who are leather are into BDSM play.
Exactly.
Not all people who are BDSMers get into leather. I mean, I know quite a few BDSMers that they don't wear leather, they don't practice leather protocols. They are strictly there for the physicality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I look at leather, I mean, I came into this lifestyle, into this community through leather. Leather is more of a mental discipline for me. BDSM is more of a physical discipline.
That's an interesting distinction.
And they both have their place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But and I think the big problem is the leather people don't understand why the BDSMers don't understand the leather protocol and the mental discipline of it.
Yes.
And the BDSMers don't understand, and then again, the leather people don't understand why the BDSMers do things they do. The BDSMers don't understand why the leather people do things they do. Then you get all those people who don't really belong to either of those two main categories. They fall into some subculture of one of those two categories. And all we're doing is confusing the hell out of those people.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, with all this disinformation and misinformation and people really not knowing which way is which, we also have the issue of the people in the leather lifestyle have one set of protocols, and more often than not, the people in the BDSM lifestyle have a different set of protocols. And those two different groups oftentimes expect the other group to know their protocols and abide by them. And the reality of the situation is it's like asking a Republican to automatically know and assume what a Democrat is thinking and how they're going to react. And that's really just not reality. So one of the other things that Fringe wanted to do was to start educating people and basically tell the BDSMers, okay, here's what the leather protocols are, so you know. If you know what they are, then you can respect them.
Mm-hmm.
And for the leather people, here's what the BDSM protocols are. If you know what they are, then you can respect them. And that's one of the key things that we have found lacking is respect. But the respect is lacking because the information is lacking.
Well, one thing I noticed, and Sinfest was such a blast. We had such
it
great time
great.
At Sinfest.
Michelle did a fantastic job as
but
the Serpentarian.
One thing I did notice at Sinfest, and this happens a lot at a lot of different events that we go to, is you'll end up, you can, after an hour or two, you will see everybody kind of just like segregate themselves. You have a cluster of leather people here, and then standing right next to them is a cluster of BDSMers, and nobody's talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we're afraid of you, we're afraid of you, or maybe it's just hoity-toity, we're better than you, hoity-toity, we're better than you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I think breaking through that is,
exactly.
is the real monster.
It's definitely not something that is easy. And, you know, once we get people talking to one another, then we can start figuring out where the problem is, how to fix it, things like that. And so one of the things that Fringe has started working towards is having classes so that people can come and find out information about, say, the leather lifestyle. We have two individuals from the leather lifestyle, a master and slave, who are going to be coming and explaining what leather lifestyle is to them so that everybody can kind of get a better idea. And then we have some individuals who are going to be coming in and explaining what BDSM lifestyle is to them. We've also got some fetishes coming in to tell us what fetishism is so that they can start basically explaining to people, this is what this is, at least to us, and we can get some information going around.
Right.
We've also got some individuals scheduled to do some workshops for us on legal issues, because the reality of the situation is a lot of the legal issues that are coming up are something I think everyone in the Fringe communities need to know about.
Oh, yeah, definitely, because, I mean, I do know that people, I can cite examples, I won't name names, but I know somebody who has gone into Legacy and had one of the counselors there say, oh, well, you're in leather. That's very self-destructive. You need to get out of that, and we need to get you out of that situation. And it's like, no, you don't understand. And when you try to educate them, they don't want to hear. All they hear, all they think of the minute you say leather or BDSM, they think beating, hurting, biting, whipping.
Once again, and it's like thing of you do not understand.
The difference between abuse and play.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's mutual consent in those situations.
Mm-hmm. And one of the big cornerstones of Fringe is basically adopting the RAC policy, R-A-C-K, risk-aware consensual kink. Whatever you do in the Fringe community, no matter what it is, there's always some element of risk. And that's true of everything in our daily lives. There's an element of risk. It's mitigating that risk that we all have to do.
Oh, you get in your car, there's a risk.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
So we have to be aware
we're doing. Train.
Yeah. In some cases, more often than not.
Okay. Why don't we take a nice little musical interlude? Then we're going to come back and we're going to talk about RAC and SSC, which is sane and consensual. We can compare the differences between RAC and SSC.
Okay.
And we can see where we go from there. And we're going to get Troy to chime in and tell us all about his nasty little lifestyle.
There you go.
So, one thing I want to say before we hit some music, the Boy Amantros contest is coming up next Friday at the Ripcord. I believe it starts, the contest itself, I believe, starts at 9 o'clock. Get there early. It's going to be great. I believe they're doing a lot of really neat stuff this year for the Boy Amantros contest. Again, that's next Friday. It's at the Ripcord. And we'll announce that again later and remind you. Now, let's hear some grooves.
It's too late to say you're sorry. You're sorry. It's too late to say that I will tell.
Never.
I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. We're here tonight speaking with Fringe. The first song we heard, that was by a group called Milk Incorporated. They're from Belgium. That song was called Go to Hell. It's off their new album. They also do an incredible remix, redux of Tainted Love. That's really cool too. But this is their fifth album. It's really good. The other song, what?
I saw this video over at Anita Bump's earlier.
Go to Hell?
Or I'm not sure if it was a song. I saw this group.
Oh, Milk Incorporated?
As soon as you said Milk, I remembered the
Milk Incorporated. Yeah, they've got, like, that's their fifth album.
Huh?
That's their fifth album.
Oh.
And he also writes music for another group called 24/7, which has never been released in America, but you could probably find it online. That's the second lead singer he went through. He fired his first lead singer because she was a bitch. But the video for that is really cool. You can YouTube or Line or whatever that video, Amazon.com, whatever, and look at the video. She's the song "Go to Hell." She's basically in this penthouse apartment throwing everything he owns out of the penthouse, and it's really funny.
That's gonna get expensive.
Yeah, and then that's especially when she tosses that plasma TV. It's like, oh honey, no, just send it to me, box it up and mail it to me. You know, that was like a 42-inch plasma TV.
By all means, I'll take charity.
Yeah, thank you. And
find out more about him. It's milkinc.be.
Yeah, as in Belgium. B-E, Belgium. Milk Inc. MILKINC.BE. The second song, that was off Madonna's new album, Candy Shop. It's the first song on the album. I'm actually impressed. Madonna actually put out something that was listenable. Because her Confessions on the Dance Floor, and I know every fag on the planet's going to call up and bitch, but that album sucked.
Hey, as long as they call it Pledge Support, eggs. They can tell you how much it sucks.
Thank you.
For $25, you can tell it sucks. Yeah, for $50, you can say it blows.
And for $75, you can tell me I'm full of crap and it was good, but I'm sorry, Confessions on the Dance Floor was crap, okay? It was rehash of really bad Eurodisco. So I'm actually pleased she actually did something that was listenable on this new album. So anyway, I'm sorry. We're here with Fringe. We're talking with Princess, Miss Anastasia, Troy, and my baby bear's in the house. So Troy, tell us all about your kinky sexual life.
short story. Been a dry spell. I came to kink kind of through the back door.
Mm-hmm. Troy's a breeder, by the way, for all you women listening.
So no pun intended on the back door comment.
Yeah.
Well, no, trust me, I was in her back door.
Someone knocking on the door, somebody ringing your bell.
But when I got into the military, I was introduced to a more formalized kink.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, since I got out of the military, I was going to say.
Not out of the closet, for those of you wondering.
No, he's a breeder.
Out of jail.
Ooh, hey, Oz,
weekend pass. Oh, I was going to say, we're the psych unit.
No, I want Christopher Maloney in the shower. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Not so much about the psych unit. There are people looking for me.
He's at KPFT. We're on Love It. Come get him, please.
We love psychos at KPFT.
No, we don't.
Well, I qualify. You opened the door, so.
Yeah, one every decade is about what we can handle. We've already had two in this past year, so.
You guys have met your quota by far.
Yeah. We're set for the millennium.
What I'm basically doing with Fringe, Anastasia, when she came to me with this idea, said, I know you're a DM for a couple of the local groups, and for those people that don't know what a DM is, basically it's a dungeon master. We're the traffic cops at the parties.
Making sure that everybody's safe.
Making sure everybody's safe, nobody's intruding into somebody else's scene, making sure the scene's going properly.
Well, I'm not going to get involved in your scene because I don't know you that well.
Right.
Now, if someone's screaming their safe word at the top of their lungs and you're not stopping...
That's your job to go in and stop the scene.
At that point, I'm going to step up, put a hand on your shoulder and go, you and I need to come over here and talk.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't work, then I have a couple of bull dykes. Have a couple of really large leather men.
And a cattle prod.
And explain what a safe word is.
Okay.
Yes, we're pretending, even though this is leather ties, we're pretending that we are talking to vanilla so they know what they mean. So they know what we're talking about.
All right. At least for the BDSM community, we basically run on a traffic light type of affair. Green, yeah, we're doing good, keep going. Yellow, something's not right.
Slow down,
hit a different spot. Just hit any different spot. That toy's too intense. There's a problem, but we can deal with it.
Ooh, that's pretty.
I was going to say, dang.
Sorry about that. His voice is a little soft, so I kept trying to turn the mic up. And
I'll lean closer, really.
Lean closer to the mic, yeah.
Come on, because we did piercing last month.
Yeah, okay, but we don't need Richard Gere's gerbil screaming in our ear either.
No, please, because that poor thing's been through enough.
Yeah. I did like his cameo in American Pie, though.
When you get to red, this is a safe word. This is stop this scene. We're done. Get me down now. Maybe a mental thing, maybe a physical thing.
They have reached their limit. period.
Well, I had an instance where a girl called red like 5 minutes into a scene, and we were all very surprised because normally it's a very, she likes a very intense play session. Turned out her leg was cramping and she was fixing to fall over.
Mm-hmm.
And
Charlie Horse called red.
But it is about safety for what I mostly do. Anastasia's invited me to come head up that safety team, and thank you for that. Hey, I always got a job to do somewhere.
Well, when we got big burly men like you, Troy, we just have to make sure you're part of the club.
Mm. What are we talking about here? This is Twisted Steel and Sex Appeal, but it's covered in Jello.
But the Jello's cool, Troy, okay? Right. The Jello's
and
cool.
And as we all know, there's always room for Jello.
I want to discuss the conversation we had earlier. but
so basically, Troy is there to help us make sure that we're all, at least marginally safe, because everything we do has an element of risk in it. So Troy's there to make sure that everybody's safe and taken care of and that there's no, incidences apart from what we've planned. And he does an excellent job at that.
Good.
The other big thing, and this is, I think, across all the communities, if it's not yours, leave it alone. That's animal, vegetable, or mineral, folks. I don't care. If it's a toy bag, if it's somebody's boy, somebody's daddy, somebody's girl, somebody's master, if it's not yours, don't touch it.
Yeah.
I had a $3,000 toy bag walk off at a party. And, well, actually, it turned out to be a good thing because Anastasia's got one of the dragon tails I make now. But,
good. But, yeah, basically, if you're at a dungeon party or a play party, if you see somebody wearing a collar, you don't go up to that person. You find out who owns that collar, and you go negotiate with that person to speak with their sub.
Exactly. And it's one of those things that, when it comes to, for example, the BDSM lifestyle, there's a kind of a commonality that, subs or slaves or bottoms are sort of free reign, if you will.
They're free range, and that's one of the big problems that the leather community has.
Exactly.
If the leather community goes to, I've been to events like this, and coming from a leather world, I see somebody wearing a collar, and we've had this happen at conventions where a BDSMer will send her boy over, or she will go over, and try to negotiate or start a scene with somebody and not realizing that they're leather. And when the boy says no, the boy is told, well, you'll just never get ahead. You're not a good bottom. You're not a good slave. You don't know what the hell you're doing. It's like,
And all it boils down to, really, is a misunderstanding of protocol.
Right. But even after this woman was corrected, she still did not apologize for her actions. She still tried to get this boy to play without his dom's permission.
There's a really good way of handling that. And
trust me, it was handled.
When I was first invited into the public scene here in Houston, I was taught that it was better to be formal and invited to be familiar than to be familiar and invited to be formal.
Yeah, we always say err on the higher protocol. And erring on the higher protocol means if you see somebody wearing a collar, you don't speak with them. You find out who owns that collar, and you speak with the person who owns that collar and get permission to speak with the person wearing the collar.
Speaking.
Same goes the other way. You see a dom, a recognized dom, and you're a sub, you don't go up and speak to that dom. If you have a dom, you have your dom go and speak and ask for an introduction. And I think the big problem is, with the leather, we are sticklers with that protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, people think, oh, wait, you're being such bitches about it. No, we're not. It's there for a reason. It's there to protect the sub. It's there to protect the dom.
Yeah, and it's simply a difference in the way the two groups operate.
Right.
And really what we need to do is get the two groups to talk to one another and understand what the different protocols are and the different ways of approaching things. And once the two groups understand the differences, then we can actually start respecting those differences and work with them. And granted, you're going to have a couple of people who are not going to respect those things either way. And the reality of the situation is there are bad apples in every bunch.
Oh, yeah.
But, generally speaking, people who do not respect boundaries and who are unwilling to consider other people and who have no common respect for anyone else, the reality of the situation is that's white trailer trash, and just set them aside where they belong. Because
no, we have a technical term for that. It's called an asshole.
We say triple wide, but okay.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes the gene pool needs chlorinating, and in which case you just have to tell those people to, you know, go find a pool store.
And if the chlorine doesn't work, use bromine. That works great, too. No, I think one of the other big misconceptions or misinformation is the confusion of dom and sub and top and bottom.
Well, there's at least in my mind, a very easy way to break this down. Let's start on the bottom end. There's a difference between bottom, submissive, and slave.
Right.
A bottom is someone who will play as a bottom, who will get beaten or used or whatever, but it's not submissive.
Right. The easiest way I can look at it is a dom or a sub, that is a lifestyle choice. Top or bottom is the way you play.
Yes, exactly. And, like, for example, a submissive, that's someone who enjoys being submissive and enjoys being played, but does not necessarily want to be owned, whereas a slave encompasses all of those things.
Well, see, one thing that I think with subs, I know submissives, subs, that are tops when it comes to play. I know doms who are bottoms when it comes to play mm-hmm. in certain scenes. And it is that sub's job to please the dom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they get their satisfaction, is pleasing their dom. If pleasing their dom means their dom says, flog me, then that sub needs to know how to flog properly.
It's one of the reasons why I disagree with the phrase topping from the bottom.
Right.
Because it really doesn't exist. You can have a top that is being beaten, you can have a dom or a master, or a mistress for that matter, that is being beaten, and you can have a submissive or bottom or slave that is doing the beating.
Yes.
And the reality of the situation is that just because you can look at somebody and watch how they're playing does not necessarily mean that that is a
indicator of their family dynamic.
Exactly. So what we need to do is start talking to one another and communicating. And once we start communicating, we can figure these things out and have less misinformation and less misunderstanding.
Well, I think
is that there can be, in a relationship, there could be multiple different types of either play or roles.
Right. Mm-hmm. In a relationship, I mean, there are certain things that I top in, there are certain things I bottom in. I'm proficient at pretty much everything as a top or a bottom, but there are certain things I prefer to top. There are certain things that I will not bottom for.
And there's things that, like, I'm her slave, and right now I'm in full adult mode, but there are times when I go into six-year-old mode.
You go into baby mode.
As Troy is well aware of.
And
when she goes into baby mode, there's no reasoning with her. It's like stand in the corner, girl.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm good.
I looked up and said hello at Sinfest. She looks up and says, I need an adult.
Yeah, but I mean, you can tell just from the way that Princess was dressed, she was in baby mode that mm-hmm. night. So, yeah,
and she was really cute.
You were really good, too. You
she
really got into the headspace.
Adorable. She was truly adorable. And I had so much fun with her during the Peep Show because I put clothespins in places that people didn't think you could put clothespins. And
then you duct tape her hands to the glass. That was fun.
After putting clothespins in between her fingers and duct taping her fingers together.
Yeah, that was good.
And then started smacking the clothespins with a ruler.
It was fun.
She was doing the whole little girl thing, and I was doing the whole Betty Page school teacher thing. So, you know, we couldn't tell if the people who were watching because they were thinking, oh, my God, she's got clothespins on her nose, or if they were watching because they were thinking, oh, wow, that's hot.
Yeah, probably both.
So probably a little bit of both. But in regards to what we were talking about with Troy being our dungeon monitor
mm-hmm.
and his safety issues, you know, we were talking about the whole RAC and SSC thing.
Right, and that's what I wanted to get back to.
One of the things that's kind of, I guess, a lot of people think that RAC and SSC are different. And the reality of the situation is that SSC, safe, sane, and consensual. And what that implies is that what we're doing is, you know, in some aspects completely safe, and we are completely sane when we're doing it, and everybody's consenting. Well, there's sort of been a kind of turn in people's thinking recently, and they've started saying, you know what, we try to mitigate the risks, but nothing we do is safe, let's be honest here. So we sort of moved to the RAC
I guess you could say acronym, which R-A-C-K, Risk Aware Consensual Kink. And what that implies is that, yes, we are all aware that there is some risk involved in what we are doing. However, it is a consensual kink, and that is what is important. So yes, there really is no difference.
Well, I think the only big difference is SSC has been around for a long time. RAC is fairly new.
But there is simply
but
a difference
it's really,
terms.
It is. It's a there's minor differences between the two philosophies of play, and exactly as you put it, there's nothing you do sexually in any way that is safe mm-hmm. in this day and age.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's nothing, anything you do better be sanely done, which means you need to educate yourself on how to play sanely mm-hmm. and as safely as possible.
And with as little outside influences in the form of foreign substances as possible.
Well, yeah, that's definitely.
That's a no-go.
That's a big no-no. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big no-no with
any
both SSE and RAC.
Or drug use at a fringe event. You're gone.
You're out the door.
And
most places are like that.
And the reality is that with all of the, you know, things that we've got going on in our world, if we are not completely focused on what we are doing and we have outside influences like alcohol or drugs, how are we supposed to make sure that this particular situation is has the risks properly mitigated if we're under the influence of something?
Exactly.
We can't.
And if you're under the influence of something, how can you actually enjoy it?
Consent.
Yeah, consent.
Consent's a huge issue. And
how can you consent when you're drunk? Or
exactly.
Stoned or, you know, tweaking. Or there's no consent there because mm-hmm. that's not you. That's the drugs or the alcohol talk.
Right, mm-hmm. exactly.
You know, and it's interesting. A lot of people say, well, you know, I can play safely with this, you know, in my system or whatever. And Fringe's policy is basically, well, we're not going to tell you that you can't do it. Just don't do it around us. Consent to us. Keep in mind, this is to us, requires complete consciousness. So if you are impaired, then you are not aware. And we will respect your choice to do it. You respect our choice to exclude it.
Yeah. If you want to play that way, you play that way at home, and then we'll watch it on 6 o'clock news.
Yeah.
You know, when you're arrested.
It's a legal issue, though, too. That is how consent is supposed to be done.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is a legal issue, so.
And so all of the fringe gatherings have that very staunchly enforced, and that is part of the reason Troy's around, is to make sure
that is enforced.
That.
Yes.
Fair warning, folks, I carry a battle axe.
Yes, and he looks very, very scary with it.
One of the things that, as far as the safety factor goes, and you said, you know, a lot of what we were doing tonight was talking to the vanilla people that are people that just aren't educated in regard to what's happening.
Yeah, or you also get the BDSMers and other people that are listening trying to understand each other. So, I mean, it's a cross-section, but the best way to approach it is vanilla.
Okay.
Because that way we're getting everything in basic layman terms.
Anytime somebody is using an implement of any variety during a scene,
which could be from a flogger to clothespins to cupping, fireplay, whatever they're doing.
Okay. Do we need to back up and define the word scene?
No.
Okay.
I think everybody knows what a scene is.
Well, I was making sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything that's being used for impact has as much back reach as it does fore reach. I don't know how many times I have grabbed somebody by the back of the shirt and jerked them back because Master Whip was playing with an 8-foot single tail or bull whip.
And whacked somebody from behind as well as the person they were trying to hit.
Well, it's my job to get you out of the way of that and explain to you, hey, guy, do you not see the braided leather coming back?
Yeah.
That kangaroo's fixing to hop all over you.
Ooh, good one. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, pair of beautiful 8-foot, 16-plat kangaroo.
Yeah, I think the problem with that is, I mean, those who are watching the scene, there need to be people. And in leather, in a public setting, we do this. We will block.
Yeah, exactly.
We set up a perimeter, and we will block an area that we know that person needs to play safely. And, yeah, there's always that one dolt who wants a closer look or thinks that they can just walk through a scene, and then they get a flogger wrapped around their head and wonder why. And I've seen it happen.
Oh, I've had it happen to me.
So
my flogs have 16-inch falls.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm playing very close. I had someone step into my backswing and come up to me after the scene and go, hey, dude, you hit me with that flower. I said, you can apologize now.
Yeah, you got in my way. You ruined my scene. You can apologize to me.
Yeah.
But the one thing I do like about leather, and I'm assuming that in the BDSM at a fringe party or HPAP or whatever, that they are at least saying, okay, this is how much space we need for the scene, and they have people blocking. Yes, if you want to watch, watch, but that doesn't mean you need to get nose-to-nose with these people because you're ruining their scene.
You do your best.
Now, as a DM, if somebody does get hit in a situation accidentally from a backhand or something, I mean, what can you do?
The first thing I'm going to do is get them away from that situation because, number one, if you didn't know what you were doing was wrong in stepping in. And they said, with the flogger, guy, what were you doing within 2 feet of somebody swinging an implement to start with?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people don't see, especially a lot of times when we play, it's dark.
Mood lighting.
Yeah.
Yes.
And people won't see an 8-foot single tail coming back. But the first thing is getting you safely out of harm's way so you don't get hit again.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, I don't want you, as the person who just got hit, having a knee-jerk reaction and flaring temper with the person who hit you, who is very rightly, perfectly within his rights to get you, idiot, move.
Yeah.
So Troy does a very good job of making sure that, you know, people are blocked off, and he makes sure that, you know, for the most part, people can conduct their scenes without having something getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say, too. It has to do with blocking or stopping their scene from being the best it can be for them.
And one of the things that Troy does is actually designate individuals to assist him as dungeon monitor.
Yeah.
And thank God for those volunteers, because I can't be every place at once.
Yeah. The thing is, when you go to one of these events, it's like you could have somebody flogging over here, somebody using a single tail over there, which is a whip. You could have somebody using a dragon tail, which is another type of whip flogger combo. It's a really cool toy. But then, you know, 10 feet away, you could have somebody doing clothespins or using duct tape or bondage scene, a temporary piercing, something like that where there's no swinging implements. Yes, you can get a little bit closer and watch what's going on. Don't talk. Don't interrupt the scene.
The problem.
Don't go, ooh, oh my God, ooh, stick her again. Ooh, no, put more tape on her. No, don't do that. Shut up.
If you yell,
enjoy the scene.
If you yell, I get her next, I'm going to take you outside and explain why that was inappropriate.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass to the curb.
Basically, yeah. The idea is don't interfere either physically or mentally with anyone else's scene.
And a lot of times,
would you want somebody interrupting you? Let's put it that way. Show the respect.
A lot of times, people don't even realize that they're interrupting a scene. There was a young lady that I had the privilege of playing with, and we were doing a candle wax scene.
Mm-hmm.
This is very quiet. It's very contained. And a word on safety for that whole candle wax thing. The religious candles that you get at the dollar store, that wax is melts at a lot lower temperature than the taper that you buy at Bed Bath & Beyond. Try this on your hand.
Yeah. Find out the height you need to
better
trip out.
Yet, on the inside of your arm before you start pouring this on somebody's very sensitive parts.
Right. If y'all remember a few of last at the beginning of the year, I did a series of 4 months in a row doing, and we covered all different kinds of fetish play, and wax was one of them. And you need to know what you're using. Test it on yourself. And see how it feels the closer you get until it burns, because you don't want to leave permanent scars, obviously.
Well,
that's not the object.
But the big thing with this is a very quiet scene. I mean, when people are doing a flogging or a single tail whipping, you know, a lot of times you'll have very pounding, very heavy metal music or something that's very intense.
The grunting, the
okay.
Yeah.
I had classical guitar music playing because this was not supposed to be.
It's a very different type of scene.
Yeah, it's a very different type of scene.
It's a much more intimate scene.
And what people didn't realize was that even a conversational tone from 5 feet away...
ruins.
You're climbing into my headspace. You're climbing into my bottom's headspace. And shut the hell up.
Yeah.
I had a scene where I had a young lady on a Sibian, which if you don't know what that is, I'm not going to explain it right now.
Look it up on the internet. I'm sure you'll find pictures of it somewhere.
But a friend of hers walked up, and she was on the Sibian with her hands on my shoulders, and I was working the controls, and wanted to know if she could stroke her. And I'm like, this...
No, you were not negotiating the scene. Step back.
Please get away from my scene while I'm in the middle.
But see, I think that's probably part of where a lot of the animosity comes from, the leather versus the BDSM, is because a lot of the BDSMers think they have the right to join in a scene. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you were not negotiated in this scene, step back. And then they get mad at you.
It's a contract.
Yes, exactly. And it's a difference of opinion. It's a difference of lifestyle and protocol.
Right.
But if we start talking to each other and we can figure out, well, if your protocol says this, you know, and my protocol says this, how do we respect those two? How do we get along? And I don't see any reason why we can't respect each other's differences and celebrate them, for that matter.
Right, but
rather than.
But a good example is what you just said with the wax play. When they see you setting up for wax play, they obviously know what's going to happen. You've got the candles, you have the bottom. Before you start is when they should say, may I join in the scene? How can I negotiate to help or whatever? And you say, no, we've got it covered. We've negotiated the scene. You can enjoy watching. But don't interrupt and don't. We don't need additional participation. But you don't wait until scene started, and then try to go in there and try to include
yourself. That just shows a lack of respect.
Yeah, it does, and I think that's where a lot of the animosity comes from.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of this is y'all just let me on my high horse and my pet peeve.
Oh, here we go. Do it. That's why we're here. We're here to talk. That's what Fringe is about.
We have an issue in the BDSM community with people who are internet trained.
That's really annoying.
I'm sorry, it's just, I've done this 1,000 times on the internet, means you've never done it.
Yeah. I've played Lara Croft a couple of times. That doesn't mean I can scale a mountain with my fingernails, okay?
There you go.
The practical application is slightly different than the internet application.
Yes.
Well, but to me it sounds like Fringe, though, is a thing of mutual respect.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what we're
what
trying.
It's teaching.
Yes.
Yes.
And one of the reasons I was so ready to jump on board with this is because I did have a mentor. Now, I don't like the old goat. If you, by chance, are somehow in Houston, screw you, you old fart.
What? Okay, I was going to say, watch the language there.
I really mitigated that one. I don't like the man. I do, however, respect him.
There are a lot of people I don't like, but I respect.
Respect them,
so.
Exactly.
I think it's probably time for a station identification break. So, Chris, you want to cut in here and tell people to give us their money?
Give us your money.
There we go. KPFT.org.
You're listening. It's a little early, so I'll pitch for a moment. Because I can say it now.
Oh, say it now. Drag it out. Speak slow.
Please donate your money to us.
We're gonna do this in sign language for all of the hearing impaired. No?
That's not what that means.
Okay. Don't you dare let Virgin in here. I mean, lock the door or something. Put that chair up against the door. Virgin can't come in here.
Oh, see, that's my job.
I've tried using that philosophy for
I've got a DM in here. He's going to kick you to the curb, Virgin, if you don't watch.
Actually,
I will admit this.
You've got two DMs in here.
Yeah, when you first said three. DM, I caught the word Dungeon Master. I was thinking a different
game. Yeah. Well, no, when we say Dungeon Master, we're not talking about Dungeons and Dragons. And yes, I am a fellow geek, and I love D&D and everything else. But no, we're not talking about the guy who's, you know, telling the characters what ogre they're going to be attacking. We're talking about the person who is the ogre telling you that if you're fucking up, you need to watch it.
Watch your language.
Okay. It's the other
the polite way of saying that is we are the traffic cops for the party.
Yeah. We're not talking about the dungeon that's... You know, the other reason you're in the basement there for 4 or 5 hours, but it's the one where you actually have enjoyment and...
Yeah, exactly.
You have girls in there sometimes.
You're not rolling
dice
and trying to steal spells.
Well, no, I resent that. I am distinctly female, and I had lots to do with Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, but you're not a girl. You're a woman.
I resent that.
Okay. You're a drag queen.
Wench is more appropriate.
Okay, wench. She's a wench.
I got a couple other words, but I'm going to leave them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Troy, you don't need to bother there. Thank you very much.
It's time for you to call in your pledge of support to KPFT at 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. We want to thank David for his pledge of support. We also have to thank Anonymous again for donating earlier in the show. Once again, you can call in Big Roy's out there, Robert's out there, 713-526-5738, 713-JAM-KPFT. Or you can also go online to kpft.org and place your pledge of support safely and securely and consensually.
Consensually, yes.
Consensually is definitely.
Oh, wow, something the Internet's actually good for.
Yeah.
And when you're... When you put in that pledge of support, make sure it's for After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We're Radio for Peace, now broadcasting in digital radio. If you want more information on what that means, go to kpft.org, and they'll explain it there.
Digital means it's not analog. I don't like Anna. She's such a log.
It means we get to shoot two streams at you instead of just one.
Ooh. Come on, baby. Give me those two streams.
KPFT, now double penetrating your special radio.
That sounds like a gangbang of a good time to me. Please also keep in mind the Boy of Montrose contest is coming up this Friday at the Ripcord. It's going to start at 9 o'clock, I believe, which, you know... Well, probably means about 9:30, but get there early so you can see the contestants and have a good time. And again, Boy of Montrose next Friday, the Ripcord. Coming up in September, the Misfits Ball, the most incredible party of the year, the Misfits Ball. And I think the Misfits Ball is going to be on the 17th of September, if I remember correctly. But we'll reannounce that the beginning of September. It's going to be at the Pink Monkey? Pink Gorilla?
I think it's the Pink Monkey.
Pink Gorilla. I think it's called the Pink Gorilla. It's going to be there again. It used to be Rehab. But
so we got out of Rehab, so yeah. We're not going anymore.
Because that's it. Now. Yeah, she's still in rehab. Somebody needs to do something with that rat's nest of her hair. I can't stand that Amy Winehouse hair. What is that?
I have no idea.
She looks like a 1960s housewife that got thrown up on. I mean, fix her teeth, too, while you're at it. But the Misfits Ball's coming up on the 17th of September. That's always a blast. It's a great charity event. And the Misfits raise a lot of money every year at the Misfits Ball. And so attend that as well. So now we're back with Troy talking about how he gorillas and manhandles people to the curb when they mistreat people at one of the fringe parties.
That's a last resort.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, and not just at parties either. It's not just about any fringe gathering event or whatever, have you?
Okay, so you have fringe play parties, for lack of a better word. I won't say dungeon party, because there are rarely any dungeons. You know, the only dungeons in America are in Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm. You can't build a dungeon in Houston. That's underground, and we're living in a swamp.
Yeah.
That's sitting at work.
And I swear, the first time I find a dungeon, I'm going to look for a cleric and say, all right, everybody, spells up.
Okay,
she's
here we go back on this
geek.
D&D
yeah,
stuff.
I admit, I'm a big geek.
So you were also talking about Fringe doing educational classes and things like that.
What we're going to do is twice a month, we're going to hold basically a... you know, session, munch, whatever you want to call it. And it's going to be on Sundays. And basically, it's a bunch of people getting together and having lunch and discussing issues. But most importantly, what's going to happen to each one of these munches, if you will, is we're going to have someone come in and discuss a particular issue that's of importance to the fringe community. Mm-hmm. Whatever that may be, whether it's someone explaining what fetishism is or someone explaining legal issues, basically an important issue of the day. And if it just happens to be Texan season, then the place where we have all gathered happens to have four big screen digital, you know, TVs so that we can all watch the Texans game when we're done. And for those of you that don't want to watch the Texans game, then you can just sit around and chat with us.
Go home.
The pool tables are over on the other side, and y'all can be over there with me.
Well, where are y'all planning to, where do you have these classes? I mean, you're talking about...
The place that we have, I guess, set aside for where we're going to be having these places, these gatherings, is a place called Hegelberger over on Derry Ashford and
Bissonnette.
I believe Bissonnette. Yeah, Derry Ashford and Bissonnette. And they have...
She's really cute, but she's way directionally challenged.
Oh, yeah, very directionally challenged.
go around all the time.
Yeah, her tom-tom is blonde, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody hand me a bottle of peroxide every now and then.
But not saying a word.
Basically, this place has agreed to kind of set aside a few hours for us, just for us, the members of the Fringe community. Mm-hmm. No other person will be allowed in, like, you know, random bar patrons or anything else like that. So it's just going to be us, and we have the entire place to ourselves. And in addition, the four big screen TVs, which are actually projection TVs, are going to be at our disposal. So if we want to do a presentation on those screens, we can, if we need to, you know, put something up.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, we have this place to all to ourselves for these couple, 3-4 hours, whatever we decide we want to do on Sunday afternoons. And they have a full restaurant. Fantastic food, I should mention. Oh, my gosh.
Shouldn't I say, that was definitely good food.
Oh, yeah. Very good food. So, yeah, you know, it's not one of those just, you know, fries and quesadillas or something. They have great food.
And they're obviously fetish friendly, so frequent the place.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's funny you should mention that.
Yeah,
when I went to the owner of the place and mentioned that we were interested in having our meetings and gatherings there, he asked me what BDSM was, and I said, well, you know, handcuffs, beatings, floggings, you know, maybe wearing leather occasionally. He's like, oh.
Kinky sex play.
Kinky sex play. And he's like, oh, I like stuff like that. And I said, exactly, that's what Fringe is about. And he goes, oh. So I can tell Jose, my partner, I'm not weird. I'm just on the fringe.
As long as the fringe isn't hanging off the dashboard in the vehicle, we're fine.
Thank you. Okay. But, yeah, so the management is very kink-friendly in all shape, manner, fashion, and form. They are fully aware of the fact that we might be doing flogging demonstrations or something to that effect in the place where we're having these munches.
Yes.
So they're very friendly to that respect. Whatever we want to do, whatever we want to talk about.
No, I was saying, let's finish this.
Pay attention to this, to what I'm saying, not to my rack, hun.
Yeah. Oh, rack. Right. Risk aware consensual kink.
Wonderful.
So, if you haven't noticed, if I want to look at a good rack, I just go like this.
Yeah, I think
I got the same issue.
He's got a rack about the size of yours, too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yours definitely beats mine, hun.
Well, gosh, then we're very rack-friendly tonight, aren't we? Well, let's listen to some rack, and then we're going to come back and talk about some other things Fringe is doing and with the different community organizations.
Excellent.
back to Leather Ties on After Hours KPFT. I'm Daddy Bear Robert. I'm your host for this evening on Leather Ties. We're here tonight talking with Fringe. Quickly, the first song you heard was a singer named Kate Ryan. It's off her third album. She's Canadian. She sings in French and in English. She's got an incredible voice. It's her third album, and just go get it. You'll thank me for it later. Anything by Kate Ryan, just go get it. Second album, the second song, that was Ian Van Dahl. They're from Belgium. And that song, well, it was pretty obvious what it was about. But it's just got a really cool bass line to it. That's why I like it. Ian Van Dahl, they do sing only in English. They don't sing in Dutch, so you can get them too. That was off their second album.
Understand we have about 1,000.
Yeah, I have about 2,000 CDs. So most of my stuff is European. You've never heard it, or if you've heard it, it's just been on a DJ collection. And you go, oh, wasn't the DJ scribbled? No, it wasn't. Okay, he just played the record and recorded it in a bar. We're here tonight with Fringe. We're here with Princess Miss Anastasia.
Hello.
Troy. And of course my baby bear sitting in tonight as well. Fringe, let's go over the acronym again. I like it. Okay. Everybody ready?
Fringe, reveling in no guilt entertainment.
Fringe.
Because you should never feel guilty about doing what you enjoy.
Ooh, that was a PSA if I ever heard one. FringeHouston.com.
That's correct. And
so if you want to go to the website, they are in the middle of reconstruction, but there is a page there if you need contact. It's FringeHouston, F-R-I-N-G-E, Houston.com. And what did you want to say about y'all's website?
You mentioned it's under construction, which it is. And
they're revamping the site.
Yes. Once we get it up, in addition to having information about where we're meeting and who's on the board and contact information, one of the other things that we're going to have on our website is ongoing discussion forums on different topics. So for those times when we don't necessarily have something that we feel we need to have a big munch about and have someone come in and present, we have discussion forums online so people can ask questions, get answers, find out more information, things like that.
Excellent. Okay, well, now you said different classes and things. You were talking about places that y'all meet. Let's talk about where.
Well, we meet at a place called Hegelberger over on Derry Ashford and Bissonnette. And on the Sundays that we have elected to do our munches, what we're going to do is basically go into this place and kind of take it over. They're very kink-friendly and different lifestyle-friendly, so they've agreed to give the entire place just to us for those few hours that we want to do this.
Wonderful.
We did have one really interesting thing. They really had not been introduced to impact play at all. So
define impact play for people who don't know.
Anything that is used, a flogger, a dragon tail, a single tail, a paddle. Believe it or not, the Nerf baseball bats, those are great. from the end, I'm usually on. Well, I have to say usually. We did one of the local groups on the north side did a Beatings for Bucks for a charity thing, and I don't know who I upset, but
they got a lot of money off you, didn't they?
$501 at a dollar shot.
Excellent.
The first 30 I took with a boat oar.
Lovely. Bet you couldn't sit down for at least an hour.
Actually, I went outside, had a cigarette and a Dr. Pepper.
Tell them about the introduction that the guys at Hegelberger got.
Oh, yeah.
With the impact play.
I pulled my belt off just to give them an idea of what we were talking about and slammed it down on a table for them. And we watched them both jump. And one of them went, ooh, and the other went, wow.
Excellent.
We had a lot of fun.
So they are very different lifestyle friendly, and they are looking forward to us taking over their place on Sunday afternoons for our munch. And
shameless plug for great food.
Oh my God, great food. So we can actually go and eat and not have, you know, like little bits and crunches. We can actually eat real food while we're having our munch and our discussions. And we're going to have presenters come in. As a matter of fact, Vince, the current president of NLA International, has agreed to come in and do a workshop on communication and dynamics.
Wonderful. Vince is a great guy.
He really is. And this is one of those areas that's very near and dear to his heart, so he's very glad to hear Houston starting something like this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I spoke to him about was
the things that he has seen in other cities. And I've also spoken to some other people in, cities. And it seems like this kind of concept is really something new in the United States thus far. No other city has started something like this. So this is kind of a new concept here that we're working
on. Laying the groundwork.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we'll see how this does. But with the kind of board that we have for Fringe, and both Troy and Princess are on the board, with the kind of board that we have for Fringe, we really have a wonderful foundation.
Well, let's talk about the board. What kind of cross-section do you have? Gay, straight, bi, male, female? What's going on?
I'll let Princess explain that.
Well, we have people who are leather, like myself. Who are bisexual, like myself.
And your position is?
I'm Miss Anastasia's slave. I am her property. That means that I am a slave. I serve and I enjoy a good scene. So those are two different aspects of myself. Then we have...
But we should mention we are also the community outreach director.
Yes. For some reason, people keep wanting me to be in the community, reaching out to other people. And so that's what I do.
You're so good at it, sweetie.
Well, thank you, Troy. We have some people on our... Are you giggling at me, baby bear?
I was going to say, it sounds like AT&T reach out and touch.
Oh, I know.
I didn't even think about that.
Don't let your fingers do the walking. Let your floggers do the walking.
We've got some people who are in DS relationships who have come from other cities. One of the gentlemen actually had his own club set up. And so he's going to mentor us through that. But he and his significant other are board members. We have people in the community who are acting as auxiliary board members that are members of the leather community and established members of the leather community. We have mentors from old BDSM groups that are no longer functioning. Who are mentoring us as well or sitting on our board. We have straight...
And single,
straight and single.
Troy, that's a shameless plug for Troy. Straight and single. Troy.
And not only do we have individuals who are very well established in the community, we also have individuals on our board who are newer to the community, so they can kind of come and present their ideas and outlook from what they see just coming in, so we can get a good cross-section.
A different perspective, yeah.
That's really what this is all about. It's something that's really near and dear to my heart, coming from a leather background and getting exposed to BDSM as opposed to leather, because I started out my journey strictly service-oriented, and then I began to understand what play was about. That was my reward for good service. So
I think one of the best lines I've heard from a leather dom in this community, who shall remain nameless, because I don't want him to get an even bigger swelled head. He's going to hit me for that one.
You're going to like it.
Nah. Yeah, one dom to another. I had one dom tell me, just because we're both dom doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. And I said, okay. But
sure,
anyway,
jump up on that cross.
Well, yeah, exactly that. But again, a dom who bottoms. So don't assume just because they're wearing daddy cap or slave collar that they're a top or a bottom. Ever assume. Well,
can we hit three terms real quick? We had a huge discussion at one of the parties, and I had to figure out my definitions for these three terms so I could use them
properly in the context.
Yeah, and have a context for them. A dominant is basically a personality trait.
Mm-hmm.
A top is a skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And a master is either someone who owns or someone who is very recognized for their skill level with a particular thing, such as a master of the single tail or a flogging master.
In a BDSM world, yes.
Okay. And once again, it goes back to the fact that different groups have different terminologies, and those terminologies mean different things.
But they are the same word, but in depending on the crowd you're in, they mean different things.
Exactly. So what we have to do is figure out what everybody's terminology is, and then figure out how we need to approach situations based on what one person understands
and
versus
again,
another.
Always err on the higher protocol.
And it just... Exactly. That's exactly, Baby Bear. It boils down to respect. We need to respect each other as individuals, respect each other's differences, and above all, respect the fact that people are different from you and let them be different.
Treat people the way you expect to be treated. It's that simple.
You know, my dad was always big on that, saying, you know, treat other people as you would want to be treated. And it's a common respect thing to me. I see no reason why we can't treat other people that way.
Yes, that old unto others kind of thing.
Exactly.
The golden rule.
I have an even better idea.
The golden rule, duct tape is silver.
let's treat everyone how we wish we were being treated.
Ooh, I like
that. And take it up a notch.
Well, yeah.
So that you're always respectful.
You treat people the way you expect to be treated and the way you want to be treated. That's how you need to treat other people. Because if you don't give it, you ain't going to get it. But one thing I wanted to say, what I was going back to, the Dom, when you said you came into this world in service, I know a Dom. He's been approached by several BDSM subs, slaves, bottoms, whatever you want to call them. In this situation, I would say they were bottoms because they were just looking for play. They weren't looking for anything else. And it's like, I want to be your slave. It's like, no. And they're like, why? And he says, because I don't need to be serviced. I need to be served.
Exactly.
And there's a difference between being serviced and being served. Again, it's one sexual, one is a mental, physical discipline, the other one is sex. And it goes back to what you were saying, a master of a single, the master of single tail, or a master of a flogger, or the master of wax, or whatever. Whatever they are a master in their the specific fetish play, in the BDSM world, they are called a master. In the leather world, they're a very proficient Dom, but in the leather world, I think it encompasses more of the physical discipline, the mental discipline, kind of all combined.
Yeah, and that's how I feel about it.
But I mean, again, I know masters in the leather world that they don't flog, they don't play with wax. They're, when it comes to sex play, they're fairly vanilla. Does that make them less of a master? No.
No.
So can you be a master?
Yes.
Yes, you can.
Wasn't that a group in the 80s? No, that was Mr. Never mind.
I won't add the word that goes along with it, but anyway.
But, I mean, again, that's a distinction where you have two different cultures, the leather culture and the BDSM culture, using the same words, but they mean different things. And that's why we say err on the higher protocol. If you're not sure, you don't know, that word, that trait, the way they're addressed, designates where they are in that subculture, and treat them with that respect until they prove to you that they don't deserve that respect.
But they don't have to be dressed as a Dom or anything.
But again, you don't have to be dressed in leather. Mistress Elizabeth with Whip Society, I don't think I've ever seen her wear leather other than once or twice. I've seen her wear a leather gown or like a leather bustier, but she rarely wears leather. Anastasia, you very rarely wear leather, but you are leather. As well as BDSM. You don't have to be wearing a dead cow on your back to be leather.
No, okay. You don't.
And if you are engaging in physical impact play, I'm here to tell you, that gets hot fast.
Yeah. Leather gets hot fast.
And I mean, we live in Houston.
Yes. You get to wear your chaps and your jacket and everything about 3 days out of the year, you know.
It's like a heavy winter coat here. Right?
But I will tell you one thing, leather chap shorts, no. Okay.
Oh, that's just a fashion faux pas.
Chap shorts, those belong in a porno movie set in Palm Springs, okay? Leather chap shorts are not.
So you're telling me I'm just...
Don't ever wear those.
That's a fashion don't.
Thank you. That's a fashion don't. Just wear crotchless panties and get it over with, because that's all they are. You know, you're telling the world, I like crotchless panties when you wear chap shorts. They're just ugly.
Or you like to have pantyhose to expose.
That's my personal opinion, by the way. It's not a protocol. I just think they're ugly as sin, and they're just very circuit boy.
Well, once again, we have to respect that some people seem to think that that's okay to wear. And I am perfectly okay with saying, if you want to wear that, that's wonderful. Just, you know, please don't do it around me.
In a fetish scene, if that's how you want to dress for your fetish scene, fine. Keep it fetish wear. Keep it at home as fetish wear. Don't wear that out in public and expect to be treated with any kind of dignity.
This is going back to respect, though.
I know.
That's right.
Respecting somebody, you do not make that judgment upon them. They can wear whatever they care to wear out.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when I see somebody walking out to a public event or a public arena wearing a daddy cap, a master's cap, a cover, and a collar, there's something wrong with you.
But that's your thought process.
Yes,
that's against theirs.
I'm sorry, even in the BDSM world, you don't wear a master's cap and a slave collar.
They can be somewhere in between.
That's right. There is such things as switches.
Okay,
and
when you
so,
number
explain
one.
Explain that word.
A switch is somebody who is both a top and a bottom, a dom sub. They are a switch. When it comes to sex play, they can be a top or a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Or
switch
both.
Is a sexual term.
Mm-hmm.
They play both.
That's right.
But if they are a switch and they're wearing a collar, 10 to 1 they earned the collar. I seriously doubt they earned the right to wear that master's cap.
But then again, you're coming from a leather background.
Yes, I am, but I'm sorry.
And you have to respect exactly as Baby Bear is saying. You have to respect that different people do things differently.
I cannot respect somebody wearing a master's cap and a slave collar.
That is your issue, not their issue.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
on the other hand, I can run with Bear a little bit on this because we have someone here in the community that likes to dress in ladies' clothing, which is fine. That's, you know, cross-dressing is good.
That's his thing. Fine.
But, dude, shave the mustache. Pick one. Yeah, I mean, that's just... And that's my personal issue there. It's like...
But that you have respected
your
that.
Issue on them.
That's right, but...
That is what, to me...
I know, no, but I'm sorry, but I even know people in the BDSM community, they see somebody wearing a master's cap and a slave collar, they're going, okay, you're a poser. You don't know what you're doing.
That's another lifestyle, though.
Mm-hmm.
But still, in both the leather and BDSM lifestyle, that's a no-no. Don't do it.
But Fringe is not about that. Fringe is about accepting everybody for who they are.
We don't make judgment calls.
We just talked about treating somebody...
With that respect. Oh, no, I will treat them with respect.
But don't sit there...
I'm not going to sit there and laugh at them and make fun of them, no.
Or tell
but
them
what it does,
stand around them.
But what it does, when I see somebody... The best example I can give is because there is somebody I know in the community that wears a master's cap and a slave collar, and I am not going to sit there and laugh at them or chastise them. They know better. In the BDSM community, the leather community, all you have to do is go out and watch people, and you will see, and you will know, and you will learn just by sitting there really quietly, sit in the corner and watch. And you will see how people interact, and you'll see how subs interact, and what subs wear, and what doms wear, and how doms interact, and how they interact with tops, subs, bottoms. And they know better. They do it anyway. I'm not gonna call them on it. I'm not gonna chastise them on it. But I don't have respect for it.
You may not have respect for it, but
because to me it. Yeah, it does matter, because to me it sends a very confusing message in the world we live.
That is your perception. That is your judgment call.
The issues are in our society.
Exactly.
I know. I'm just saying.
Respect everybody else's.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like somebody not respecting the fact that you're gay.
Exactly.
It's no different.
It is
no
different.
It
to
no,
me.
It's no different.
To me it is, because all you're doing is sending a mixed message.
You're putting your standards onto someone else.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm applying leather protocol.
Ah.
Leather protocol.
You're applying leather protocol.
Leather, yes, it is a leather protocol. Doms do not wear a slave collar. Slaves do not wear a master's cap.
In leather protocol, that's
leather
true.
Protocol. It's different in BDSM.
I don't know any BDSMer that wears a slave collar and a cover.
And it's different in other people's views. Maybe they feel that's where they are in this world.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that is a representation of different sides of their personality, and they are simply trying to represent that to them, to themselves, as well as to other individuals.
And they have to
there's
feel
no way. Yeah, there's no way we have of knowing exactly what to them that means, and that's the key. What does that mean to them? Now, if they're just wearing as a poser, and they're
that's
you know,
what I'm saying.
Well, now, hang on.
Leather drag just as
that's
just
right.
As oh, much as
so
there is
But everything is drag. But.
Well, this individual wearing a slave collar and a daddy cap, if you go up to them and ask them, again, that communication, bridging that gap, and saying...
This is somebody I have talked to. I know very well.
If you come up to them and say, what does this represent to you? What does this mean to you? And find out. Now, granted, they may very well just, you know, not being applying anything and being very flippant about it.
It's playwear. That's all it is.
If to them but it is, in fact, playwear, that's fine. That's their fetish.
But that's disrespecting the leather community and the ASM community.
No, it's not.
I think it is disrespectful.
That's because it's your perception.
Mm-hmm.
I think, okay, it's disrespectful just in
to
the same
you.
To most people.
No.
No, it's not.
Again, you're making a judgment call for other individuals based on your background.
Well,
and
again,
that's not fair to
okay,
do.
Bear, I want to ask you a question. I tend to wear a leather vest at the parties.
Uh-huh.
As far as I am concerned, as far as my mentor in the military was concerned, I earned that vest.
Yes, you earned your leather, but
now,
that comes from the leather perspective. From the BDSM perspective, you can go out and buy whatever you want.
All right, but my question is, if I come to a leather community event, I probably would not wear that vest for the simple reason that I do not know what your qualifications are.
If you're in the leather, you're in the leather. We're not going to...
Okay, no, but what I'm saying is... And I've had discussions with Princess about this because I'm not familiar with the leather community out here.
Mm-hmm.
I was very familiar with what the rules were within the very small, very finite group that I was involved with. But I would no more presume to wear my leather to an NLA event or a leather event then you would presume to put a set of General Stars on your collar and walk into where I come from.
Okay, but to me...
But you shouldn't be uncomfortable wearing a leather vest to a leather
vest. Okay, but that's exactly my point, because to me, you wear a slave collar and a master's cap is the same star as putting 4 stars on your shirt and walking into where you live.
Okay.
They're walking into my house and disrespecting me.
That is not your house.
The leather community is my house.
Your house
that
is
my community. That is my community.
But
that is where I live.
What Fringe is for is to make communities accept other communities.
Exactly.
And that
well, it's not just accept. It's not just accept, but it is to educate them.
And respect.
Well,
other
yeah.
Levels.
I know that.
And you're not respecting other people's their lifestyles because it doesn't live up to your
expectations.
Leather expectations.
No.
And I'm coming from the outside of all of this.
But again, what I'm saying is...
I don't fit into any specific community.
No, I don't respect that because they haven't taken the time to educate themselves before they go buy the stuff and put it on.
That's what Fringe is for.
That's I know.
Exactly what
but
it's for.
When they know and they keep doing it, that's when I have a problem.
How do you know that they know?
Because this person that I'm talking about, I have known for years, and I have spoke with him at length, and I'm not the only one. He's
but
been
like
in
said,
this community for years and years and
that's
years.
That's your perception, as Baby Bear said, and maybe for them, this is their fetish.
That's
the
fine.
Way they like to
but
dress.
Again, like I said, when it comes to the leather world and the BDSM world, he's sending mixed messages. They're very confusing messages.
Yeah, but the thing is that...
If you're switched that night, if you want to play bottom, come out as a bottom. If you want to play top, then come out as a top. Don't come
your
out as both
your perception is
time.
That he's sending mixed messages.
I'm not the only one. I know BDSMers who
that
don't know
true,
anything about
that's
leather.
That's their opinion.
That's their opinion. We need to respect each other's differences and opinions. He needs to respect your opinion that that's disrespectful to you. You need to respect his opinion that this is his fetish.
I understand. Stop. I understand what you are saying. What I am trying to tell you, and you aren't listening, is that people from the BDSM world and the leather world are all telling him this is not correct. This is not proper.
What
You're
if he's
confusing
not part of
everybody.
Those two? What if he's a fetishist and that's his fetish?
His fetish is to confuse everybody.
Yes. That may be.
It may be a little head game he's playing with.
Then stay home. No, I know this one. He's not smart enough for a head game, but
that's
stay home.
People assuming that I'm a submissive because you have the...
Because I am a dom in the community.
In the community. And not assume, and to assume that is disrespectful to me.
That's
I'm
right.
not, and I'm not, and what you are completely missing, which I've said over and over again, is I know this person. I've known him for years. I've talked with
it
him at length.
Matter.
Yes, it does. Because he's purposely doing it to disrespect. He knows better and he does it anyway.
But that is different. Like I said, you are going to have bad apples in any single society. Any single society. And if he's doing it deliberately to disrespect, then he may be wearing these particular items with the sole purpose of creating dissent and problems.
Oh yeah, but it's causing problems not only in the leather world, but the BDSM world
too.
Because they are all.
That's why I'm at fringe meetings and fringe.
Exactly. Yeah. But
well, that and I'm really hoping to get to spank somebody.
We'll get around to that, Troy. I'm sure we'll find somebody to get you to spank.
Oh dear God! Call 1-800-YES-PLEASE.
Yeah, it's free for the first 5 minutes. After that, it's $1.95 a minute.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not paying for it. No.
But I mean, either way, I mean, you know, if it's somebody who is doing it deliberately to disrespect the different communities, well. Exactly. Ignore him. I mean,
they're getting the attention they want.
No, we do ignore him, but he continues to do it. But that's what I'm saying.
Just gave him 20 minutes of all the attention he could handle.
No, because all I'm trying to do is using that as an example that a lot of people don't take the time to educate themselves. And when they make a faux pas, they basically F you. I don't care.
Well, once again, white.
Then again, you tell me I've got to respect that. Well, he's got to respect the fact that in my community, you don't wear that.
People that deliberately disrespect, however, people that deliberately cause problems, people that deliberately incite issues between other individuals are nothing more than the scum of the earth that don't deserve our time. Just ignore them and let them be.
Attention.
Yes,
but
exactly.
Again,
and if you give them that attention, you are giving them what they need.
We get it.
If you just ignore them.
I already said we do. We've already turned our back on this person.
But
and that's fine.
And that's fine. But in the end, everybody has a different way of doing things. And if they're doing something not realizing they're disrespecting, that's what fringe is for.
But again, in the leather community, it has always been... Don't give me that look. In the leather community, it's always been that a harness that you see most people wearing now, a harness is slave gear. That's where it originated from. That's where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
In today's world, everybody wears them. Doms wear them, bottoms wear them, tops wear them, subs wear them. A harness has just become a staple fashion statement, and that is something the leather community has modified their thinking on, and it's become more acceptable for a dom to wear a harness.
But the only way it's become more acceptable is for people to start understanding.
Right.
Well, we have the same issue in the BDSM community with collars. They have become a fashion statement.
It's just become a fashion statement. That's what a harness is.
Exactly.
And we understand that, so we will look the other way on that. We don't always agree with it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But
we don't always agree with different people's way of doing things, but we can respect their different ways of doing things and all still get along. And that's the whole concept we're trying to go with here. Everybody's got different ways of doing things. Let's respect it.
Okay, would you let your slave wear a collar and a master's cap?
Coming from a leather background, a BDSM background, or a fetish background?
You, period, would you? If you went out to a high leather event or a BDSM play party, would you allow your slave to go out wearing a slave collar and a master cap with you in public?
That depends. Is she in costume?
That's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you flat out, would you, yes or no?
Well, like I said, again, this is, you know, my particular protocols or whatever. I mean, from my particular background.
But see, again, you just hit the nail on the head. Is she in costume? It's not a costume. It's a lifestyle for most of us.
But see, here's the issue. If, you know, she's decided to dress up in the costume of, say, a
master slave.
No, say,
girl.
Best thing I can say, a leather dyke. Let's say she's in costume as a leather dyke for a Halloween party. I'm still going to have her wear her collar because that is part of her standard attire.
Mm.
But if she's in costume as a leather dyke, then I'm expecting that she's probably going to have some kind of daddy cap on.
Speaking of which, Fringe is planning one hell of a Halloween party.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Let's go to the Halloween party. What are y'all doing? That sounds
well,
fun.
Well, I can't divulge too many details.
Okay, when, where, and we just need to know when to show up, where to show up.
Well, we will get to that, and it will be posted on the Fringe website very shortly. But basically, let's just say the weekend of Halloween. Halloween this year is on a Friday, so we will end up... We're still kind of working on whether or not we can get the proper arrangements for Friday.
So it'll be like maybe a Friday or the Saturday.
It'll either be the Friday of Halloween or the next evening, which is Saturday. But it is going to be on that weekend, and we have got...
a rather sizable amount of entertainment planned. And in addition to that, we've got all kinds of people coming in to help us support it and promote it and advertise it. And
so what are we calling it? Fringe Fest.
Oh, God, no. We have too many fests around here.
Yeah, exactly. How about we just call it Halloween Party? So we'll just kind of like
work with that. Low-key name, because,
Fringe-a-ween,
That just sounds wrong.
No. How about Halloween?
Yeah, we'll just kind of leave it with the name that it's got right now. Halloween. Go with that. It's just our version of it, that's all. So we will have people from all walks of life, and one of the things that Fringe is very big on is we do not play the exclusion game. Period. As long as you're respectful of other individuals, you are welcome at any of our meetings, at any of our munches, at any of our parties. As long as you're respectful, we are happy. As long as you abide by the rules, we are happy. Other than that, do what you will kind of thing. And
now there is one thing to kind of go with that. We are going to ask that you attend some munches and a couple of parties before we just turn you loose.
Familiarize yourself with your organization.
We just want to make sure. I mean, because one of the things with our parties is that we do have a dungeon monitor, Troy here, and we are taking our parties and we are basically moving them in different houses all over the city. So if you can't attend a party one month, which is on the south side of town, well, then you can attend the party the next month on the north side of town.
Right.
So we're kind of making sure that everyone has access to it.
And here again, this is somebody's home.
And are you going to have a calendar set up on the website?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
This is somebody's home. Please be respectful of their home.
Yeah. And that's part of the big thing is, again, the respect issue. But, yes, we will post where we're going to have the parties. And we actually went to all the different groups in Houston. I should say just about all the groups in Houston. There's a lot. So we're still working on speaking to some of the others. But we have gone to almost every single group in Houston and mentioned what we are doing, told them the concept of Fringe and how we're going to operate. And we have gotten almost unanimous support from the groups in Houston, groups. And the only reason I say almost unanimous is because those groups that we haven't approached yet, I can't speak for their support, but those groups that
you've gotten support.
Exactly, including in LA International.
Yeah, so far so good.
Yeah, exactly.
In LA Houston and in LA International.
Exactly.
Yes.
And it's one of the reasons that we have this support is because we are promoting individuals to go to these other groups and these other parties, and we are promoting communication, respect, and collaboration, and joining forces and, you know, using each other's resources without homogenizing our groups. We can still maintain our unique identities, but work together.
Excellent.
So, we have the support of all the groups that we've gone to, and they've been very, very vocal in their support of us and letting us know that they're loving this concept and want to help out in any way they can. So, in addition to having all these groups supporting us, like I said, we have several very well-recognized members of the community who are either our mentors or our auxiliary board members to offer us support.
Okay, so closing statements, Princess. What would you like to say about Fringe and what it means to you?
What would I like to say, Fringe? I would like to say, Fringe, why resist the temptation?
Troy?
Oh, my thing is again, the 100% safety factor. Come because I'm going to respect you, and I'm going to make sure that everyone else does too. We're going to have it function. It's going to be something special. I really believe that.
A safe environment to learn, watch, and educate yourself.
Right.
Anastasia, what would you like to say about Fringe? Sum it up in three sentences. What does Fringe mean to you?
To me, Fringe means the opportunity for all of us to talk, communicate, collaborate, get along, respect, and share resources while giving us each the opportunity to be individual and unique and yet still work together.
She really needs to be going to politics, doesn't she? She's damn good at that.
Don't start that.
I really don't know what you're talking about.
Really? No, we're not even going to touch on politics.
Ooh, I got a tickle in my throat. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say a word, but that's what you get for not shaving before you eat.
We encourage everyone to go to our website, which, like I said, is under construction, and find out some more information about our group. We'll have more information up on the web shortly, but we encourage everyone to come out to our munches on Sundays. Again, they will be twice a month, and the location...
First and third, second and fourth, what Sunday?
First and third.
First and third Sundays of the month.
So we're going to encourage everyone to come out to our munches.
Excellent.
And find out, you know, some more information about the different fringe communities in Houston. And once they've come and seen what we're like, maybe come to some of our parties and enjoy a good time with us.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank Fringe for being here tonight.
And thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, Daddy Bear.
We've had a fun discussion,
yes,
and we've had a fun topic. And despite my little rant about slave collars and master caps on one person at one time.
Yes. That's okay. I know where it comes from. Trust me on this one.
Sorry, but, you know, you say I got to respect that. Well, they got to respect me not appreciating that and not condoning it. So, anyway, that respect goes both ways. Please remember the Boy Montrose contest is next Friday, Saturday night. The way the contest is going, it may last until Saturday. We're not sure. The Boy Montrose contest next Friday night at the Ripcord. It's going to start about 9 o'clock. Get there early. Get there at 7, 8 o'clock. Have a good time. Relax. See the contestants. Talk to the organizers and get a good time. We also have the Misfits Ball coming up in September. That'll be at the Pink Gorilla, and there'll be more information on that next month. Chris, you got anything to say? You want to play us out with a song?
Yeah, we'll give a little music, then we got to come in and pitch for another little bit.
Okay.
We've almost made our goal, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anastasia had one more thing to say.
I was just going to say, for all those people who didn't get a chance to completely catch our conversation, it's Fringe, Friends Reveling in No Guilt Entertainment.
And it's FringeHouston.com.
Fringe, because you should never feel guilty about doing what you enjoy.
See, she's so good at that. She needs to be doing PSAs or going to politics or something. Wait, Chris, do your thing and play us out with a cool song.
Yeah, Chris, thanks.
What's the next button? Yours next.
Thank you so much, KPFT 90.1, for having us on. We really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for being here.
All right. We've almost made our goal.
We have. I'm very excited.
Almost, huh?
Almost, yeah.
Excellent. Almost horseshoes, hand grenades, and egg farts. Okay, we need more money, people. Come on.
So we need more people to call in and donate to us, please.
That's right. 713-526-5738.
And Anastasia will breathe heavy for you.
Trust me, if you could see her breathing heavy, you pay for it.
I moved your life.
So if you
want to
get us over,
to
our goal,
yes.
What are we giving? What do we got? What do we got? It's $50 level. You get one of the great KPFT grocery tote bags.
Ooh, those are cool.
Knock us over there. It's $60. You get a KPFT logo T-shirt.
Hey, hey, hey.
Rob Furniture. What was that? Hey, hey, hey. Are you selling beanbag chairs?
Get a T-shirt for $60. $60 pledge.
Keeps us on the air.
It does. It does.
We've got a lot of stuff from the Pacifica Archive. For $60, you get a CD. See if there's anything that has
of
to do
all
with
kinds.
And those CDs make great play music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to see if they ever got anything for our community on here.
You can always go to kpft.org to donate if you don't want to call in.
713-526-5738.
Mm-hmm.
It's 526-KPFT.
Big Roy's still out there.
Oh, yes, he is.
Big Roy.
And if you can't do it right now, if you're driving or you've had one too many 20 cocktails, you can go to kpft.org later on. You can put your pledge of support in at any time for us.
And if you've had 21 cocktails, call right now. We want your credit card number.
Well, call a cab first. Don't get in your car. Call the cab while you're waiting for the cab. Call us, okay?
So let's just play some music to bring us out. Coming up at the top of the hour is Idico Pasale.
Oh, and they are here ready to go.
So let's go listen to music and go bye-bye.
Okay.
Jimmy will be back next week. I will.
Yeah.
Push the wrong buttons there.
Yes.
So.
Yes, I'll be here. You're going to be... You're taking a hiatus.
I'm going to Dallas to invade. The big men are invading the Dallas.
Oh, I thought you were being invaded in Dallas.
Well, that's Monday night.
Oh,
Saturday
okay.
night's a different story.
I see.
Here's the music. Here we go.
Let it all begin.
know you can't spend all your time in Iraq to follow what's going on, so you can count on KPFT to do it for you. You can't spend your days following the new agenda in Congress or its dealings with the White House, so you can count on KPFT to do that too. You can't spend your days listening to all the new music to find the best artists and songs. You can count on KPFT. Your support keeps KPFT on the air and gives you news, information, and music you don't hear anywhere else. That's why we're asking for your financial support today. Please make your gift to KPFT.org or call 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT right now. Continuing to meet your expectations, KPFT depends on your financial support. Contributing listeners provide over 90% of KPFT's funding. So please take a moment right now and make a gift to KPFT at 713-526-5738 or online at KPFT.org. This is commercial free.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.